All right.
Yeah.
Gary says, I've always wanted one of those uranium watches. Mm-hmm. Where can I get one, please?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Well, before you do, you better have an injection.
Try Belarus.
It won't do you any good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Now, I'm delighted to say that Tommy Boyd is here.
Tommy.
He's taking over
man.
From us at 1 o'clock.
Great to see you.
And you guys.
Bank holiday Monday.
Mm.
What's going on?
Well, not a lot, really.
No.
It's a fact, isn't
well,
it?
Well, I'm hoping there's not too much going on, because we're going
I'm
out.
I'm always sounding broadcasting at a bank holiday. It's a bit like a dead rubber in Davis Cup. Do you know what I mean?
Nothing's that bad.
We, you know, you kind of you've won. You've got to do something.
Well, it's when you have to earn your money, exhibition. Really, right? It's when there's nothing
but
going
result
on.
Result doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you
but
know.
Tommy, you'll make it sing.
It's
I know you will because we worked together before, and you make things sing.
Well, I was thinking coming in. I know this is talk radio, and then you've got our wonderful sister stations, Talk Sport. But there are certain things overlap, and you had Sterling yesterday, was it, in the football, running into the crowd. And,
yeah, or the crowd running into him.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
But I got myself thinking, you know, if he's that keen on being in the crowd, he's got a Saturday off coming up, hasn't he?
Mm.
Well, he could try it, the whole experience, the public transport.
He could.
Down to, what's that pub, the Mary D's?
Where's that?
Well, they all go just opposite the Emirates.
Mary
D's.
Harry Manchester.
There's the Highbury, isn't there?
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
I think there is, yeah. I think
Highbury. And have 4 pints. Yeah.
Highbury Corner. There's Highbury Corner because they sell pies there. I know that.
He could call that young woman up that he had a sort of friendly chat with.
Yeah, I think the only problem is he is in the England squad, isn't he?
Is he?
He's in the England squad, yeah. Although he's got a Saturday off, I think he's actually expected to train with the England squad.
Okay. Well, and then we're doing profanity because a report. Thank goodness for reports being published. This report says that the more complex you're swearing, the more intelligent you're likely to be.
I think that's true.
Whether or not you know, it's a precursor of intelligence or it encourages and develops intelligence. But
I think swearing is very good generally.
I was surprised, going back to football, I was surprised to see Juan Mata swearing at the linesman when he was ruled offside.
That's because everyone thinks he's a nice guy, doesn't
but
he?
But he's swearing in English.
Yeah. That's brilliant. I love that.
Yes.
I love that.
I don't know how you can say you think swearing is good. You're supposed to be a disciple of the English, English language, because that is the
swearing
tomb of your trade.
Swearing is one of the oldest forms of speech, by the way.
Yeah, but it's a communication for the ill-informed and the ignorant.
Incorrect.
Who can't find proper English words to express
that's
themselves.
That's not true. There is no word for two swear words, at least, that I can think of right off the top of my head.
Yeah, well, I don't go around thinking to myself, what's a better word than this, a swear word? You know, I don't. I want to eradicate swear words out of the English language, not try and row them in
further.
You're
Victorian, aren't you?
Well, I'm just, I just think properly.
Do you? Well, there we are. We should leave it to you, Tom.
He thinks properly.
He thinks properly.
Looking
I'm not going to swear at him, but enjoy.
Thank you.
We are
goodbye, Sam. Hello, Samantha.
Talk radio. Listen. Phone. Talk.
Talk radio.
We'll get you talking.
Another one drives a duster.
Another one drives a duster.
Another one drives a duster.
Hey, whether we get one, two.
Another one drives a duster.
The Dacia Duster SUV, starting from just $9,495, with over 100,000 UK customers and fantastic owner reviews on our website. Isn't it time you got in on the action? Dacia, you do the maths.
So you kick around the idea of getting rid of your greys with Just for Men, but all your intel comes from your lovely lady, who goes to that dreaded place, the salon.
Then there's the foil and the sitting, the hot dryer, more rinsing, more sitting, more rinsing, more sitting, more rinsing.
Mate, that's not for you. That's for the ladies. That's why Just for Men is made
for men.
Getting rid of your grey takes about 5 minutes. Yeah, it's that easy. Now you're not only back to your natural hair colour, you're back at the pub, where you belong. Just for Men. Find it in the men's aisle.
Every match on Sky Sports and BT Sport. This is football from Virgin Media. Cabled areas only. Search Virgin Media Football for more information.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
Up immediately after the news, we're going to be talking about profanity and what works, what doesn't, and whether it makes you brighter. Now it's time for the news.
Thanks, Tommy. Coming up, Houston set for more flooding, chemical haze alert over, and M1 lorry driver appears in court.
Talk Radio.
Houston is bracing itself for more rain as US officials start releasing more water from reservoirs overwhelmed by Hurricane Harvey. The move is aimed at protecting the centre of the city but could make already devastating flooding worse in surrounding parts. Harvey hit on Friday but has since lingered, dropping heavy rain as a tropical storm. Houston's mayor is Sylvester Turner.
This is not going to be a 1-2-3-day deal. Even when the rain, when the storm is no longer a storm. We know that the aftermath is going to require a lot of attention.
People in East Sussex are no longer being advised to keep their windows and doors closed after a suspected chemical haze came in from the sea yesterday. The gas, which caused itchy eyes and sore throats, has still not been identified. Most of the people treated have now been discharged from hospital. US doctors think an anti-inflammatory drug represents a potential new era of treatment. The injection has the potential to reduce the risk of heart attacks by 15% and cut deaths caused by cancer by at least half. GP Dr. Lawrence Gurlis has told Talk Radio, though, we shouldn't get carried away.
It's scientifically exciting. I think that there may be some very high-risk heart patients who would benefit from it. But I think that we need to find out a lot more and maybe bring the cost down and find another way of administering it before we think this is going to be the panacea that everyone hopes.
As Brexit talks restart in Brussels, David Davis is demanding flexibility and imagination to speed up the negotiation process. The Brexit secretary is said to be frustrated over the attention being focused on the so-called divorce bill. And a cult leader in India convicted of rape on Friday has been given a 10-year prison sentence. Supporters of Gurmeet Ram Rahim Singh took part in violent protests which killed at least 38 people following his conviction last week.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Very warm and sunny across much of England and Wales. Cooler and windier in the northwest with outbreaks of rain. Today's high, 29 degrees Celsius. In sport, it's understood West Brom rejected a second bid from Leicester for Johnny Evans, thought to be worth £21 million. Manchester City have also been linked with a move for the Northern Ireland defender. Arsenal manager Arsene Wenger says everything went wrong in what he's called an absolutely disastrous performance at Liverpool yesterday. His side were thrashed 4-0 at Anfield. Aberdeen have confirmed Gary Mackay-Steven is recovering at home after being treated for hypothermia, having been pulled from a river in Glasgow. The winger was rescued by emergency services in the early hours of yesterday morning. And Johanna Konta leads the British Challenge for today's start of the US Open tennis. The world number 7 takes on Serbia's Aleksandra Krunic in round 1. That's the latest news powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio.
Sky Q has done it again. You can now search with your voice. So I can say Fortitude, Series 1, Episode 3. And it finds it for me. I can even search action movies rated 5 stars. And it finds that too. But you're going to love this. It has this button. Press it, your remote beeps, so you can find it. Incredible. Sky Q, the next generation box. Sky, believe in better.
Requires Sky Q 2TV box and a Sky TV subscription connected to home broadband. Content depends on subscription.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment. For those about to talk, we salute you.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Language. That's all we've got. We've got body language. There are people who are tactile. But basically, it's all down to language. Without language, what a lonely life it would be. I mean, I know dogs don't have language, as far as we know, and they hunt as packs, and they have some form of communication, and you only have to look at a flock of starlings making that incredible mobile cloud in the sky around about dusk to know that animals do have some form of communication, but they can't construct sentences, and therefore they can't cogitate. Language is everything, whether we're speaking it or whether we're thinking it. How do you think? Good listener. How do you think? Do you think in a series of pictures? When you wake up in the morning, do you think to yourself, I'll just lie here for another couple of moments and then go downstairs and make a cup of tea? Or do you see yourself in pictures, lying in bed for a little bit longer, and then in another picture, putting your dressing gown on, and in another picture, making a cup of tea? We have an internal voice. You only have to sit in a traffic jam and look at the individual, alone individual in the car, and they're muttering. They might be on their mobile phone, which they shouldn't be, or they might be singing along to Ken Bruce, is music. But in all probability, they're having some kind of conversation with themselves. They might be mentally rehearsing something they're going to say to somebody next time they see them. We all do that. They might be mentally rehearsing what they should have said when somebody said something that trounced them a while back. We all do that. It's called ruminating. But without language, internal and external, then the human being is an amoeba, and we're not amoeba. We are thinking, we are productive, we are cooperative, and sometimes, according to some people, we misuse our language. And there's lots of ways of misusing our language. We can upset somebody and hurt somebody by saying something that hurts them, or we can swear. Now, if you say something about somebody to their face or behind their back that upsets them and hurts them, well, you're guilty, aren't you? You're guilty of something quite profound. You are using language as a weapon, and that should be illegal. But I don't know of anybody who's actually been prosecuted for that type of abuse. Yes, there's verbal abuse, but it tends not to be issuing derogatory statements about another person's ability or looks. But what people do get prosecuted for is swearing. Or, to give it its posh name, and funnily enough, it doesn't sound so bad if you describe it as profanity. So how will those people who get happily upset, and it is a form of happy upset, when you hear a couple of youngsters at the back of the bus and one of them uses a word, and you can enjoy that self-righteous indignation that a young person is being disrespectful, is swearing, is uttering a profanity. No, you won't think like that. You won't say, oh, that was profane. You'll say that is bad language. Well, now, the reason I thought of bringing it up on a bank holiday is because there's been some research. Shock, horror. There has been some research. I'll read you what I've got, because it's interesting. I don't know if you've come across this already today, but we can maybe take it a stage further without, obviously, crossing any lines, I hope. The use of obscene or taboo language, swearing, is often seen as a sign that the speaker lacks vocabulary, can't express themselves in a less offensive way, or maybe even lacks intelligence. But this latest block of studies shows that swearing may, in fact, display a more rather than less intelligent use of language. While swearing, the research goes on, can become a habit, we choose to swear in different contexts and for different purposes for linguistic effect, sometimes to convey emotion, for laugh. When my son, my first son, was born, I was on the radio, and do you know what? I used the F word. I used the F word to describe what a experience it was, and I said it on the radio, and everyone around, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, I think, everyone around said that was absolutely fine. It was the ultra version of very, very, when I said it was a fantastic experience. Now, these psychologists who have carried out the research are from Marist College, M-A-R-I-S-T, which I confess I haven't heard of myself, and I've got more information on it. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to bring in Dr. Andy Corns, a psychologist. Afternoon, Doc.
Good afternoon.
Have you come across this research yet, or am I filling you in here as I go along?
No, I've come across the research, and there's quite a bit of research which is associated with with the topic at hand, namely the view that the speaker lacks intelligence or the vocab to express themselves. It's interesting, and I won't swear, but I went to university up in Durham and had quite a lot of time spent in Newcastle, and they've got an amazing facility to be very creative with profanity in the northeast, let's put it that way.
Yeah, so you're saying that, are you saying, and I like it if you are, because I'm half Geordie, if you're saying that the Geordie dialect, let's call it that, because Geordies are a tribe, aren't they? It's not just a part of England. Geordies are a tribe. That there's something special about their vocabulary and use of language? I'd like to think so.
That basically the
Oh, we've got a bit of a problem with the line, Andy. We might have to get you back. I thought it was a long cogitative pause, actually. But let's just try you again. No. OK, so whilst we're getting Andy back, I can tell you this. The great philosopher Wittgenstein, Ludwig Wittgenstein. Oh, luckily, Andy, I don't have to tell my story about Wittgenstein. I always hoped I'd never have to.
Sorry, I don't know why I've been cut off. But
no, you weren't cut off. It was a technical thing. No one will cut you off because you'll get a letter from the legal department in 3 weeks.
Okay, fair enough.
It's very different from a technical problem. Go on, mate.
Okay. Well, but basically, you know, the link is that people with greater facility in English and greater fluency have higher vocabs in using swear words. Mm. And, you know, it is thought that swearing allows people to articulate their feelings more effectively. You know, it conveys greater emotions. And I won't swear, I promise. But if you compare the statement, it's awesome, with it's freaking awesome,
yes,
you'll get the picture.
Yes.
And swear words do express heightened emotional states as well.
I know, but you can use it to cheat as well, can't you? I mean, there is a joke I know which I'm not sure I can repeat, but there's two ways of telling the punchline. The punch. Can I do it? Can I do this joke?
Be careful.
I'll do it. And if they dump me, they dump me. Okay. So a man is involved in a road traffic accident on a roundabout, and he runs into the back of another motorist. And the motorist gets out, and the chap is quite small. Let's say 4'6", which is not that small. And it's not ignominious either, because apparently Jesus was only 4'6", but I digress. And the man's jumping up and down in anger because he's been rear-ended. And the fellow who's responsible for it says, calm down, calm down, calm down, thinking to himself, what a short guy. But the fellow won't calm down. And in the end, he flounces off, shouting over his shoulder, I'm not happy! And the man says, well, which one are you then? Now, that's quite funny. But it's not as funny as if he says, which freaking one are you?
Yes.
And I know that because I've told that joke before in do's which were age-appropriate, obviously, not at children's parties. And I can tell you that you get a much bigger laugh if you use that particular word. But then is that cheating or is one exposing the true emotion of the situation, which is kind of what I think you're hinting swearing can do?
I don't think it's cheating. I mean, I think that people who swear are often thought to be uneducated, unintelligent, and lazy, that basically the use of swear words is lazy because they can't be bothered to actually find substitute words. but, you know, we do know that swearing has a cathartic effect, and there's been quite a few psychological studies that, you know, swearing is actually helpful, and it kind of has a physiological advantage if you swear that it reduces pain, so that swearing can actually give you pain relief. And, you know, the studies are very conclusive in that. But there's also something quite satisfying about using a swear word in the right time and place.
I've often wondered what I would do if I'd been in the First World War and, you know, the whistles went off and you had to go over the top. I think I'd just go over the top swearing to kind of gird my loins, as it were. I've always wondered what the Japanese word banzai translates into English as.
Well, but absolutely. And I think that the other thing that you've touched upon is that swearing actually does make you stronger. There's been studies...
Physically
stronger.
Does it really?
So there's been psychological studies of people using swear words in gymnasiums, and they've actually... it's given them a greater kind of physical edge. The interesting thing about that is it's not just random, diffuse swear words which are let out kind of impetuously. The swear words have to be stated in very kind of controlled states. And there's an element of that when we think about swearing, isn't there, that people who swear less probably have greater cognitive control, that they're able to read the situation that they're in and pick and choose the context. I mean, studies do show that
Okay, yes, I'll pick up quickly because I think we've lost Andy and a couple of seconds to go before an essential series of messages for you. I was thinking whilst I was listening to Andy, you know, that's very true what he was saying. I used to enjoy watching Match of the Day when it first started out in black and white when I was a boy. And a guy called Kenneth Wolstenholme did all the commentaries. Anybody remember Kenneth Wolstenholme? Well, anyway, Stoke City were quite big at the time and they had several players well known. There was a guy called Eastman and a guy called Baker. Eastham. And a guy called Baker. But they also had this midfield player whose name was George Kinnell, right? And commentators never actually give players their full names, though they didn't in those days anyway. It was just surnames. My brother and I, we swear that whenever Kenneth Wolstenholme had to say Kinnell, he would say it with a greater degree of... So it would go like this. He'd go, Baker, inside to Eastham. Canal! And we were on the floor. And I don't know. Was he in on the gag? Whatever. There's that. If something is slightly illegal, it happens to be a little bit more delicious. I refer you to page 4 of The Sun. If you're listening to Paul Ross, you'll know what I'm talking about. Let's take a look. Reminder that our telephone number, if you want to say hi, is 0344 499 1000. 0344 499 1000. Our text is 87222. And if you start the text with talk, that will get here. Or you can tweet at Talk Radio. I'm Tommy Boyd, in for John Holmes. It's a delightful bank holiday Monday out there.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Dial up and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Every match on Sky Sports and BT Sport. This is football from Virgin Media. Cabled areas only. Search Virgin Media Football for more information.
Right now, all Wren kitchens are half price with an extra 25% off. And there's 10% off all worktops, all when you buy 5 or more units. Hurry, ends Wednesday at 10 p.m.
Ooh, did you tap our new Tesco club card?
Let's assume I did. Why?
Because when we use it, we collect points that we can put towards flights and holidays.
So buying these nice biscuits...
They're not nice.
Yeah, they are. They're lovely.
Yeah, and they're also Nice biscuits.
OK, yeah. So could buying these nice Nice biscuits get us to, Nice? I mean, nice, Nice.
Precisely.
You mean precisely.
The new contactless Tesco club card. A tap is all it takes. Minimum £1 spend.
Direct Line guaranteed to beat any public liability insurance quote for the same cover. Can your insurance do that? Search Direct Line public liability insurance. New customers only. Qualifying criteria apply. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Hurry into Homebase for unmissable bank holiday deals. Right now, get Crown 2.5 litre standard coloured emulsion, just two for £22. Excludes Pure Brilliant White. Homebase, always low prices.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
We look at the A41. It's currently closed both directions towards the Newport roundabout because of an accident that is causing some significant queues. New Blunsdon, the northbound A47 in Suffolk remains closed towards Great Yarmouth because of an accident at Gorleston Road. Better news, the Londonbound M4. There was an accident between Junction 8 at Maidenhead and Junction 7 at Slough West. It's now on the hard shoulder but causing queues. And Somerset southbound M5 has a lane closed towards Bridgewater North and Bridge North to South. That's all because of an accident, so it's still causing some delays on approach. I'm Erica Dancer.
The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Talking earlier about profanity and how it can actually be a conduit towards higher intelligence and greater strength. We had it 10 minutes ago from a psychologist, so it must be true, that you're going to increase your strength if you use profane language appropriately. Now, I can imagine if you've got a great big dumbbell and you're doing some curls and you want one more good one, then you're certainly going to be thinking something that's going to provoke you into just creating a greater physical achievement than you would do if you were to be thinking daffodils. But the interesting bit, just to round off the conversation about profanity, the researchers who looked into the use of profanity and its value to us all conducted experiments asking volunteers to hold their hand in buckets of ice water for as long as they could tolerate it whilst repeating a swear word. And I understand that the more you were swearing, the longer you could keep your hand in the bucket of ice water. Amazing. But we'll move on from profanity and talk about the weather. Weather is huge. Weather changes everything. Here's the one thing I've never understood about weather. Never understood this. I don't believe any economist, any philosopher, any doctor could explain this. But if you look at Europe and the fragile economies, they are all in countries that enjoy magnificent Mediterranean weather. And the countries whose economies appear to be stable or even flying are in the countries which have cold weather. And it's only if you live in a cold weather country that you have to heat everything, which costs an absolute fortune. One of the big domestic bills is our power bill. And if you live in Sweden or Norway or in the United Kingdom or Germany, then you've got a heating bill and a power bill that's going to be three times what they have in Greece or Italy or Spain. And yet those countries don't seem to get out of the red. I've never understood that. And I don't expect Chris Page to clear that one up for me. But he knows more about the Met and the weather than you, me or anybody else. How are you doing, Chris?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Tommy, how are you?
I'm good. Oh, it's a he. You're never sure with a Chris.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it is a male today.
Okay, so just before we talk about the weather, have we seen you on telly?
Yes, possibly, yes, you have, yeah. And the Met Office weather app as well, which is available to download from your app stores.
Because you're a business, aren't you? People forget. We tend to think that you're like a public service, but the Met Office is a business, isn't it?
That's right. So yeah. We produce weather content. So we've got our own website, which we have weather for. And I also forecast the weather on Channel 5.
Okay. Is the Met Office still used? The Met Office used to be run by the Ministry of Defence. You're not all Secret Service agents anymore, are you? You did used to be.
We're still part of the. We're still civil servants, but we're not under MOD now anymore.
Right. No. I always thought that was interesting. What with all the conspiracy theories about climate change and everything, the fact that not that long ago all our weathermen and women were 007, I thought, hello.
Apparently, we had codes like that.
There's something going on here that we should know about. So anyway, it's a scorcher. Few what a scorcher. I guess the question is, I've got to ask it. I know who knows the answer, but I've got to ask the question. Is it anything to do with climate change?
Oh, well, that's I can't really answer anything to do with that, because the weather this weekend is all due to an area of high pressure that we've had across the south of the UK. And it's giving us some beautiful clear skies in places across parts of England and Wales. And luckily, it's tied in with what has happened to be a bank holiday Monday as well. And often many people, the joke is there with the bank holiday, always expecting rain. But actually today, it's looking pretty good through this rest of this afternoon across much of England and Wales.
Yeah, but you've always got to caveat that there are some cloud in parts of the United Kingdom, otherwise you get letters, don't you?
That's right. Yeah. So, of course, and here comes the caveat. Into the northwest of Wales, northern England and Scotland and Northern Ireland, there is a weather front pushing its way in, introducing a little bit more outbreaks of rain and some cloud across northern parts of England and Wales through this afternoon. But generally further south, for much of England and eastern parts of Wales at least, there'll be plenty of sunshine, which will allow those temperatures to climb actually into the high 20s. We've already got 27 Celsius at St James's Park in London. That's the latest hotspot, hot off the press just now. I've just checked on my...
Why is Heathrow Airport always so hot?
Why is Heathrow Airport
always
so hot? No, all our flights are set at the same... they've all got to have... the thermometers have got to be at a set height. It's got to be in a certain distance from a fence and buildings and that kind of thing. It's a set criteria so we can compare them. It's just, that it can just be occasionally Heathrow Airport is one of the higher ones, but often over this weekend, for example, we've had Gravesend has been one of the top places and St James's Park today as well. So the temperatures are set to climb through the rest of this afternoon. Now, I have a bit of a stat for you, Tommy, because I know you like stats. So this is it's a bit out there. And today, if we beat 28.3 Celsius, it will be the warmest late August bank holiday Monday on record.
History.
I know. History could be made today.
The buzzword of the decade. History is made. Fantastic.
Yes. Potentially. So we've got 1.3 Celsius to go, which is quite possible. We're likely to see 29 today. We could even see a little bit higher than that in some prone spots towards east.
Listen, Chris, I'm really disappointed with centigrade.
Oh, you're going to ask me for old money, aren't you?
Not old money, it's just so much more exciting. What's 100 degrees Fahrenheit in centigrade?
Oh, now you're really testing me. Oh, I don't deal with old money.
But it's just so much more exciting when you get to 100. It's happened twice in my lifetime.
I'm too young to remember Fahrenheit.
You just don't go doing cartwheels down the hot avenue if it's 31.3. It's just not the same. It's like in cricket. Nobody goes mad when somebody scores 31 runs. But if they score a century, mamma mia, it's more exciting.
Yes, that is one way of looking at it. But in fact, without Google, I probably can't tell you off the top of my head Fahrenheit is.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Right, OK.
I was talking to this ex weather forecast, whatever you are, you know what you are. Meteorologist, I've been reminded by Cass. Where have you been all morning, Cass? I want you in here. And she said that unofficially, especially around about holiday times, this is commercial, remember, not you.
Okay.
They used to just downgrade the weather prospects slightly because if they said it was going to be hot and dry and it rained, they could get 10,000 letters of complaint, all of which had to be answered. Whereas if they said there was the outside chance of a shower and it didn't, nobody writes in and complains. Now, you've got to be very careful about how you answer that one.
Yeah. Well, I can confirm you on that one that I have never heard anything in my life about that. And I've been forecasting for about 5 years now. And I've dealt with the members of the public from our on the phones all the way through into our Facebook and Twitter and things. And I can confirm that if we... I've never heard that before in my life. Often you'll find that... And the phrase sunshine and showers is to kind of cover our back, as it were, because but with sunshine and with showers, it is so difficult to determine the exact location. You know, it can be down to even minute changes in like buildings can change the wind, have an impact on the wind direction. Farmers can plough their fields, changing the temperature over the field because of the colour of the land that changed. So these kind of things are unable to be modelled and predicted. It's just, you know, it's like me turning around to you and saying, oh, what do you think you're going to wear exactly at 7:35 p.m. next Thursday? And you'll go, well, I know it'll be an evening. I might be going out for dinner. Well, I might be wearing this. So it's that kind of analogy where...
Well, it's funny you should raise that analogy. Very curious you should raise that analogy, because my next question to you is, how come is it that the Met Men on telly look as though they're going to be the last breed to stop wearing ties?
What, with all our funky ties that we wear?
Everybody just goes open-necked now, you know.
That's true.
I know. When is your boss going to say to you finally, look, guys, you don't need to wear these silly old ties any longer?
That's true.
I think that if you're not careful, the news readers will beat you to it.
They'll beat us to it. Well, we, on the Met Office website and on our channels, we don't wear ties anymore just because it's a bit more casual. And like you said, you know, the number of ties over the years have probably been worn out and everything. But we're renowned for wearing some interesting tie combinations, that's for sure, in weather.
And in answer to your question, I'm thinking about going the Einstein way. Einstein got fed up having to choose a new outfit every day, and I can see that because he had better things to think about. So he ordered 7 identical safari suits. And so he didn't have to choose. He just put on Mondays on Monday and Tuesdays on Tuesday, and he always looked the same.
Oh, nice. That may be the way forward then on what to wear. We can tie that in with the weather as well.
I'm so grateful. We had a bit of a laugh.
You're welcome, Tommy. Have a good afternoon.
And you, mate.
Cheers now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, after the news, which is coming up, we're going to be talking about a new diet, a really exciting new diet. It is a diet which is guaranteed to effect, in you, good listener, the same calorie loss that you would achieve if you went for a 5-mile run every day, and you only have to be doing what I'm doing now. This is Talk Radio. Let's get the very latest news at 1:30 from Pete Abbott.
Thank you.
Talk Radio.
Roads have been turned into rivers as the US state of Texas continues to deal with the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. It hit on Friday, but the storm has since sat over the area and is expected to dump a year's worth of rainfall in just a week. Schools, airports and office buildings in Houston have shut, and volunteers with boats are helping to rescue people. People in East Sussex are no longer being advised to keep their windows and doors closed after a suspected chemical haze came in from the sea yesterday. The gas, which caused itchy eyes and sore throats, has still not been identified. A lorry driver facing 20 charges over a motorway horror crash that left 8 people dead has appeared in court. 31-year-old Richard Mazarek is accused of being over the alcohol limit when his truck was involved in the incident on the M1 in Buckinghamshire early on Saturday. 6 men and 2 women in a minibus died after the collision. With Brexit talks restarting in Brussels today, David Davis is demanding flexibility and imagination to speed up the negotiation process. The Brexit secretary said to be frustrated over the attention being focused on the so-called divorce bill. But EU officials insist not enough progress has been made on other issues. Leave campaigner and Conservative MP John Redwood thinks we shouldn't pay a penny.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast, tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
It's a big show. In fact, it's the big show. It's the Full Set Breakfast with me, Paul Ross. Get your laughing tackle around a great big gob full of current affairs, plus the latest showbiz stories, all that, your finance news, and some gossip stirred into the mix. With me, Paul Ross, your chef of the day on the Full Set Breakfast right here on Talk Radio.
Total Talk, essential listening.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast, tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
Lovely.
The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Cass joins. Cass, you were telling me before we came on air, and we've worked together a couple of times, but I was...
Oh, God, which story?
My eyebrows went up when you said that you used to be a chef.
Yeah, I used to cook food.
Fantastic.
Didn't kill anyone.
As far as you know.
Well, nobody's complained.
Well, so how long did you chef away? Because that is a profession, one of the few professions, I think, that I would definitely swerve.
Right.
It seems to me to be extremely emotional. The hours are long and hard. I'm not sure whether the public, when it comes to acting as gourmets, acting as eater-outers, are terribly fair or polite about whatever it is the chef manages to do. Mm. And not many chefs run the course, and quite a few chefs end up off the rails. True?
Well, it was only a pub chef. It wasn't the Ritz. It wasn't anything, you know, it was just steak, you know.
I know, but then let's talk about customers. You do get funny people, don't you?
Yeah, you do get specific people,
yeah.
Or picky people.
About the chips?
Yeah, you know? Sometimes they like them a little bit overcooked or a little bit undercooked.
Yeah.
You get people sending stuff back. I have worked with people, which is why I never, ever send food back in a restaurant.
No, me neither.
That have done wrong things to the food.
I've heard about this.
I've seen it,
yes.
Not when I was a chef, but I've certainly never done it myself, because I respect the fact that somebody is putting their meal in my hands.
Yes.
Not literally, because, you know...
Awkward customers. My son worked as a waiter, and he said that only on his very first day of doing it, when somebody asked him about every single item that was on the menu, just showing off to the people he was with, thought it made him look clever and, you know, fussy and knowledgeable and all the rest of it. And he asked what came with the liver and bacon. And he got the answer, cabbage. And he got the question, how is the cabbage prepared?
Oh, God.
What can you do with cabbage apart from shred it and boil it? Is there anything else you can do?
You can steam it. Or you can fry it. Like, not deep fry, like wok fry.
Now, this is the coming thing, is frying herbs. I don't know who started it about 2 weeks ago, but now all the television chefs are frying mint.
Why are they frying? What with?
Just in shallow fry it.
No, but then what do you do with it after that?
Well, apparently it goes crunchy. I'm keen to try it.
Well, yeah, but... Because I put mint with potatoes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course.
Or lamb. Mm.
No, they fry it.
But what?
And they fry other herbs as well.
What, like rosemary?
Yeah.
Thyme?
Deep fry them so they get this sort of little crunchy side dish.
But then do you eat it?
Yes. What else can you do with it? I saw an American recipe once for beetroot, and it went like this. First, peel the beetroot and then boil them for 1.5 hours. Then slice them very thin, immerse them in vinegar and capers, and refrigerate for 24 hours. Then throw them away.
What? I love beetroot. beetroot.
I do too.
Pickled beetroot, best thing ever.
As long as you know what to expect the next morning.
Well, it's not that. It depends on how much you eat. I mean, if you go overboard, no, it's like asparagus.
My first trip to the hospital, aged 24 months.
How much did you eat?
I don't know. I was 24 months. I don't recall the incident at all, except it's probably made me a bit phobic about A&E. My mum fed me beetroot and then I peed red a few hours later and she panicked because blood in urine is known to be
symptomatic. It's not healthy, is it?
Mind you, I do show a little blood in my urine whenever I have a urine test. High blood pressure. If you have high blood pressure...
I didn't need to know that.
What? Which bit?
About you. You could have just said, in general, if you have high blood pressure, that happens. I didn't need to know about your movements.
But I'm drifting towards putting I in every sentence these days. Because everybody else does. I've stayed clear of it for years.
Yeah.
But now I'm starting to succumb. So the first time it happened, I had to have a camera inserted where you don't want a camera.
Oh, God.
All right, you thought you talk about information you don't want. Do you want the whole bit?
Oh, why?
What? Because it's this talk radio and I'm talking.
It's coming to the about something else. Look all the things we've got. We've got newspapers
all
and
right,
everything.
I will change the subject as soon as I've just put a line underneath this one, God. Which comes after the following bit of information. It wasn't so much the camera going in as the lighting unit.
Were two bits.
Yes, because it's very dark in there. What are you going to see if you don't have a lighting map?
No, use night vision
unit.
Camera.
Huh?
Night vision camera. Well, they could have used that. Why are they putting two things in there?
That's so funny. You don't do oscopies. Anything that ends in oscopy does not have a night vision camera, man.
It should.
For one reason, they're only about the size of a Bic pen, if you go back to the
first. No, I know. I know they're only little.
Bic biros. Speaking of which, here's a coincidence. Do you know the name of the man who invented the biro? It was Laszlo Biro.
No, I know that.
What are the odds?
I know.
Anyway, so moving, as they say, what do they say? Moving swiftly on, don't they? Phrase I never use, along with even as I speak. Never use that one.
Well, just move it just to anything. Just move into anything.
All right. Well, what I'm also not going to say is that we've got a packed programme, although we have.
We do.
So well done.
Oh, thanks.
A little bit later on, we are going to be talking about a new diet, an incredible new diet, a new way of losing weight without losing money.
I was shocked by this one because you see them everywhere, all these new diets, and it's like, actually, I have seen this diet before.
This one is huge.
I'm shocked.
Well, I stumbled on it yesterday.
No.
Couldn't believe it, cross-referenced it, and it must be true because you've got an expert.
Well, when you tell me about it, I actually thought you were making it up.
No.
you're a very dry maker-upper person.
Thank you. What I've also not made up is something that we want to talk about a little bit later on in this afternoon's programme, which is whether there could be a link between one of the big stories that's been circulating for several weeks now is a concern about the number of buildings that are left unoccupied, domestic buildings, houses that are left unoccupied in London because their owners are sufficiently rich to be able to buy 10 and 20 million pound houses and leave them unoccupied because they don't need the rent, they don't want to use them, they'd rather be in Monte Carlo, and they'll make money when they sell them because that's how it is with bricks and mortar.
Yeah, it's just investment for them, isn't it?
So that's going on. But the other thing is that I want to talk about is why those buildings aren't being burgled. Because when I was a boy, if you left your home unoccupied for 24 hours, the chances are someone would have a look in.
Although, do they know they're being burgled because they're not here?
Well, do they know they've been burgled? Because if you're a sensible burglar, you go into these homes, they've got a television in every room, you just take one and they'll never know. So maybe the homes are being burgled.
Yeah, maybe they go to the top level and they just start slowly working the word out.
Or maybe they can't be bothered to report it. You know, you come back from Monte Carlo and one of your diamond-encrusted toilets isn't where it should be. You just think, well, get somebody in to replace it.
Well, I suppose as well, they're thinking, well, now I can upgrade it. I can have the platinum diamond version instead of just the diamond version.
But don't we all feel a little... You've never been burgled. You told me that earlier today.
Yeah, no, never.
Touch wood. That's formica.
Is that...
Yeah, no, that's not either. Plasticky. That's metal. There's no wood at Talk Radio. No, skirting board.
No, it's woody.
Is it wood? Skirting board's wood. Why were we touching wood?
to make sure I don't get burgled.
Don't get burgled. Never been burgled. When you do get burgled, you do feel slightly desecrated, don't you? Mm. Because somebody else, and you want to know what they looked like and how respectful they were and, you know, whether they, as they passed photographs of family members, they said to themselves, what a nice family. I am now destabilising and stealing from.
Well, I don't like the idea of anybody touching any of my stuff, let alone rifling.
No, you don't, do you? That's why I didn't ask you if I could borrow your card to let myself out and come back in again.
Well, I don't trust
after
you
I'd
to...
been to the gents.
No, because... I don't trust you to wash your hands. That's,
no.
That's all that is.
No, exactly. But of course I would. Okay, what we'll do is we'll listen to some very, very important messages, and I'm going to listen to them carefully. I want you listening as well to pay attention to, just as much as you do to the programme.
Of course.
And buy as much of the stuff that's being offered as possible. That's what keeps us in employment. It's Tommy Boyd. I'm in for John Holmes. It's beautiful out there, Bank Holiday Monday.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A radio star is born.
You're going to love
Talk Radio.
Get ready to feel flush with success on The James Whale Show. Tomorrow night from 7 on Talk Radio with Pimlico Plumbers. James will be joined by another man who's never short of an opinion, Pimlico Plumbers flamboyant CEO and founder, Charlie Mullins, for an in-depth look at the current challenges facing small business owners and entrepreneurs. Don't miss Flush with Success. Tomorrow night from 7 on The James Whale Show on Talk Radio with Pimlico Plumbers. More than just plumbers.
The Sky Variety Bundle is bursting with great entertainment. Enjoy explosive big screen drama like Game of Thrones, exciting documentaries on Nat Geo, and a whole range of brilliant kids' shows. So, for a bundle that's bursting with brilliant TV, join or recontract with the Variety Bundle, down from £32 to £25 a month. Search Sky Bundles. Sky. Believe in better. £20 standard setup, new 18-month contract, Sky Q kit loaned at no cost, payment by direct debit, further terms apply.
It's here. It's one of over 1,000 great used vans, and it could be yours.
What's that coming over the hill? Van Monster! Van Monster!
Van Monster has a huge choice of used vans across the UK, from all the leading brands, all with 6 months warranty and AA cover. Like these 2013 Peugeot Partners, from under £4,000 plus 20% VAT. Find your next van right now at vanmonster.com.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
If you're heading for the London-bound M4 through Berkshire, we had an accident between Junction 8 at Maidenhead and Junction 7 at Slough West. That's now on the hard shoulder, but still causing some queues. The northbound M1 through Bedfordshire, there was an accident at Luton Airport, junction 10 of the M1. That's reopened, but still causing a delay. Ducton's Beechwood Lane is closed both ways. Between Beechwood Lane and Willett Close, that's because of a serious accident. And Blunderstone's Yarmouth Road, the A47, that's shut northbound between Gordonston Road and Hall Road at Hopton-on-Sea because of an accident. It's causing delays between Lowestoft and Hopton. I'm Erica Dancer.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
In the greatest comeback since Bobby Ewing showed up in Pam's shower.
Hello, I'm James Whale.
The mighty James Whale is back.
You know the one.
The voice of reason returns to Talk Radio.
Unfiltered comment, scorched earth debate, and an ill-advised leather Stetson.
You making some kind of joke?
You look ridiculous. Take it off.
Get in the ring with the legendary James Whale.
Are you ready, man?
The dome-headed sage of speech radio returns to the airwaves for 3 hours of essential national night talk.
Cometh the hour, cometh the whale.
The James Whale Show, tonight from 7
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
There was the world's biggest, I think it was diamond or gold nugget, I can't remember, in Australia. And it was discovered like this. A guy who'd been looking for gold all his life but hardly ever found anybody was walking along, I don't know, from his hut to the place where he was looking for gold. And he saw this rock and he kicked it and it exposed gold. And he bent down and it turned out to be the biggest nugget of gold ever found.
Is that true?
Yeah, and every so often in life it happens to you. Now, what happened to me yesterday is not quite as life-changing as that at all. However, I think it is sufficiently interesting to predict that everybody listening right now who hears this will go on not only to think about it, not only to tell somebody else about it next time they're in the pub or when the mother-in-law comes round, but they'll give it a try.
No, they always do, though.
Yes.
Cabbage diet, Atkins, everything. Somebody at some point in their life will decide that they need to get fitter, lose some weight, do something, and this is the new thing.
When I told you it, you could hardly believe it.
I couldn't at all.
And I asked you to kind of guess, and you had a go.
Well, yeah, I tried.
I'll tell the listener, look, listener, it's this. No, I'll tell you what I'll do, listener. I'll ask you the question. I'll ask you the question. How many calories do you think you use up talking? Now that you know kind of which tree I'm barking at, you'll probably have a go and say, oh, I don't know, per hour, 4 or 5, 10. It's over 50, sometimes 60, sometimes more. And that means that if you were to talk for 12 hours, okay, and that's not that difficult, is it? If you're in a, I don't know, a bubbly family or a busy office or something like that, you're talking down the phone, you're talking on Skype, you're talking to the people around you. Out of 12 hours, you might very easily talk 9, 10 hours. And that is the equivalent of going for a 5-mile run. A 5-mile run!
It's not as tiring either.
Well, no, if you went for a 5-mile run and you were wired up so you could talk to people on the phone, and you do often see people jogging and talking on the phone, then it's equivalent to going for a 10-mile run.
Mm.
So the talk diet has to be discussed and it has to be investigated further, because there's every possibility that some commercial enterprise or another that has a vested interest in talking might harness it.
And they should.
To assist its customers in losing weight.
Mm.
Can you think of any commercial organisations that have a vested interest in talk?
The news?
Oh, it's it. No. Oh, well, we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
Do we get an expert on?
Yeah, go on.
OK, on the line, Gavin Barnett, who is in the Cotswolds, who is an expert dietitian. And Gavin, I understand that you've had a chance to digest at least the top line of this information. What's your immediate thought?
Well, my immediate thought is that that actually it's quite fun talking to talk radio about this, because, to be honest, you guys talk rather a lot as it is. So the idea that that talking can burn as many calories as a 5-mile run, all you need to do is make sure you're hosting for 12 hours at a time.
Yeah, well, I did 5 hours, a 5-hour show for a period of time. And when I stopped, I did put on weight. I did. I genuinely put on weight when I stopped doing five hours a day. So,
oh, yes, I live in perpetual fear of stopping talking. As soon as I stop talking, I can feel going straight to my hips.
Putting it, yes. Of course, there's talking and talking, isn't there? I mean, ranting, presumably ranting, you know, 10 to the dozen, as they say, is going to be more beneficial than just yakking.
Well, you'd think that, wouldn't you? But in actual fact, research shows that you actually burn twice as many calories when you're listening as well as talking. So if you're talking while listening, such as having a debate or just shouting over somebody, then in fact you're actually burning twice as many calories.
This is really interesting. When I worked in television and had to be on an earpiece, and therefore I was talking and listening at the same time, I was coming in at under 10 stone.
You see, that's a perfect case in point there. You know, it's a marvellous thing. And actually, we're slightly unfortunate in the UK, because we actually burn less calories than many of our neighbours. The Germans tend to burn just 1% more calories, because their language is so quite harsh sounding. So they have to enunciate their words a bit more. So if you were to say, ich habe die Krankenhaus befahren, which means I would like to go to the hospital, you'd already be burning more calories if you were German than if you were English.
Good Lord.
That's interesting.
And then, of course, there's those Italians with all that waving of their arms around. That's going to contribute.
Absolutely. That's the equivalent of doing CrossFit. You know, it's like a strength training regime, speaking in Italian. There's a lot of hand gesturing, a lot of head nobbing. You have to really speak from the diaphragm and really project your words when you're speaking Italian. Hmm. You know, vorrei una pizza cacciotti, per favore. Doing that already, I've been working my biceps while I speak to you.
Yes. And you never see a fat Italian.
Oh, yeah, yes, it's true. If they are, they're certainly a very quiet type.
They're very short, though, aren't they?
Maybe that's because they're burning so many calories. Maybe as teenagers, it stunts their growth.
It's so interesting, isn't it? All of human life is here. And there are other human activities about which there is speculation as to their calorie-burning capacity. Now, one of them, and I don't expect this necessarily to be your sphere of expertise, Gavin, but one area is thinking.
This is true, yes. If your mind is occupied with something complicated, then that, and if you're talking whilst you're doing that, you're automatically working more muscles, using them more considerably or considerately. And so, for instance, if you were doing a difficult crossword, maybe the Guardian's cryptic crossword, you'd already be burning more calories than you would do if you were just deciding what kinds of shoes to wear.
Absolutely.
Not to downplay people deciding to wear shoes, that's of course an important choice. But if you're doing the cryptic crossword, that is a hard crossword.
Yeah, I've looked at it. It's not good. It's not easy.
Gavin, what did you weigh before you started this interview?
Oh, I weighed 13 stone 10. I think if I step on my scales now, 13 stone 6. There we are.
Gavin, thank you so much for your time. You are absolutely full of good ideas. Thank you.
Yes, dandy.
Dandy. Bye-bye.
That's fascinating, though, isn't it?
I mean, the thing is, there will be the occasional cynical listener who will be thinking that we're just padding out a bank holiday programme. But this is a fact. You know, on my grandfather's grave, it is a fact that you burn. If you talk for 12 hours, you burn as many calories as you would do on a 5-mile run. I was astonished. But it, there it is.
Yeah. This must be why, when you came in this morning, I thought, I've not seen Tommy for a while. He's looking a... Not to be rude,
bit
but...
Bit thick-set.
Well, just
a little bit solid round the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware of it. It's because I haven't been talking enough.
You look much leaner now.
And
you
did now. I look much leaner now.
Yeah, well,
than
no,
I did.
Yeah, because you did nap, but yap out there while I was trying to set up the show.
I did, didn't I? I couldn't stop. But it was because I heard about the weight benefits of talking. And, of course, then you're exercising as well. I've often noticed, and I say it out loud now for the first time in my life, but I've often noticed that men who talk too much, by the time they reach their early 50s, they tend to have thickened up here across the face.
What, across your cheekbones?
Yeah, yeah.
What, like out like a hamster?
Yes, but it's not. It's good quality muscle. It's not flab. You know, you're not looking like Cyril Smith or Jabba the Hutt or anything. Or
that's not like droopy.
Like Kelvin McKenzie these days. You're not looking like that. You're just solid in the face.
Yeah, like cherub-cheeked.
It's a funny thing, but men do their faces do tend to grow outwards as they get older. And I do have this theory that if they talk too much, it's just that they're exercising the jaw. And if you exercise something, obviously, it builds and it strengthens.
Yeah.
So there is that. So the jockey, Frankie Dettori?
The little Italian guy.
Tiny Italian guy, yeah. He says that people shouldn't go running because he always found, that, and these jockeys, they really have to watch their weight, don't they?
No, they do. Like they are actually athletes. People don't think that they are.
Fantastic athletes, actually. But he says that he never goes running because every time he would go for it, he's got a set of these micro scales at home that kind of do you, you know, right down to your molecular weight. No, not little scales.
I thought we're going into some really horrible territory here. But
he sits on some of those things. Yeah, like the little ones you buy in Lakeland for making cakes, and Frankie sits in one of those. Dear God.
He's very specific skills.
Sorry?
Specific skills, really.
Yeah, very precise, molecular scales.
Yeah.
And he says that if he goes for a run, he comes back and he weighs 7 ounces more than he did when he set off on the run. But walking, power walking, he says.
7 ounces more?
7 ounces more, half a pound more. Do you do ounces?
I do ounces, okay. But I just, why more?
Because it's built muscle. He's got food in his stomach. You exercise. See, I mean, there's a very interesting question posed by a scientist called Rupert Sheldrake. He says, when you eat a cheese sandwich, each molecule in that cheese sandwich knows it's got to go off and be a different part of your body. He says, how does one molecule in the cheese sandwich, a single cheese molecule, know that it's going to become part of your hair? And another molecule in that sandwich, say a molecule of mayonnaise, know that it's going to be your left toenail? But that is what happens. And how does it all know to do that? It's called the study of morphogenia, and it's a bit scary. But anyway, the question is, how do we put on weight going for a walk? It's the same as you will put on muscle if you go to the gym. If you've eaten some protein and you go to the gym, you'll put on muscle, and muscle weighs more than even fat.
Yes, it does, yeah.
That's it as far as they know and understand it.
It's very complicated, though.
It is a tweet has flooded in. And it comes from a person wearing sunglasses. I'm sorry, I'm not quite sure on the culture on reporting tweets on Talk Radio in the afternoon. It just says, "Hi, Tommy, I'm going shopping this afternoon for my nephew's second birthday. At Talk Radio, hashtag love my nephew." And that's from Nat Kimber. Nice one.
Maybe Nat. Maybe Nat wants suggestions on what to buy. And actually, any suggestion for a nephew or niece is something noisy.
I have to say, I asked Chris, the Met person, at the beginning of the interview, because he, as it turned out, he was a he, was not in the studio with me, so I couldn't be sure. So I asked, I just checked whether Chris was a he or she.
You're right.
Because I know. And it's the same with Nat.
Shall I look at the picture?
Well, the picture's extremely tiny.
Well, that's because you're not wearing any glasses.
That's because I left my glasses at home. Don't start the whole optical damn... I have to wear special glasses, dear listener, and I've lost them, and I therefore have trouble reading things. That's short for Natalie, you reckon?
I reckon so.
Okay.
As a guess.
All right. And this from Will Milnship, Talk Radio, at Talk Radio. Good to hear. Ass prod back. This is yourself, Cass. Oh, yeah, Cass the ass prod.
No. It's not Cass the ass prod.
That's what he's written.
No. John Holmes, who I used to produce for, used to call me Ass Prodcast Through the Glass.
Oh, okay.
The assistant producer.
Oh, I can't do triple internal rhyme.
Well, just don't call me Ass Prod.
Okay. Frying certain herbs, oregano or oregano, depending on which TV chef you like, is amazing. Who's the worst television chef in your book? It's hard, isn't it? Because they're all pretty rubbish.
I don't really like watching chefy programs because I just they always do like with the deep frying or the frying of herbs. It's like just don't muck about with it.
No,
just enjoy it the way it is.
My beef is that they never show anybody doing the washing up
and all them pans. There's a runner somewhere in these TV studios that has to do the dishes after. That's a rubbish job.
I'll never grate cheese into anything.
I don't care what
the recipe says. I'll use a potato peeler. I will slice it very thin with a knife. I don't want to be the guy who has to clean the cheese grater. You can't put it in the dishwasher.
You've got a dishwasher?
I don't use it very much, actually. I quite like the washing up, but not the cheese grater.
Because you hurt yourself?
No, because it's just so messy and...
I can't believe that you don't like the cheese grater. So.
When I cook, I work out what recipe I'm going to cook. Literally, I take into consideration, it's a big consideration, how easy the washing up is going to be.
That's ridiculous.
It's a fact, and it works for me. You can call if you want to join in. It's 03444991000. You can text 87222, 87222, starting with Talk, or you can tweet us at Talk Radio. Coming up to 2 o'clock, the news is next.
Talk Radio. Call 0344 499 1000. Text 87222 or tweet us at Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Stand up to cancer on Talk Radio. Stand up, raise cash, take cancer out. Genius scientists, game-changing treatments, fearless fundraisers.
I'm Ian Lee, and it's game on as we fire up our consoles for Stand Up to Cancer. Why not get involved? From sporting sims to puzzling platformers, test your electronic entertainment endurance in a marathon gaming challenge to help level up loads of cash for life-changing cancer research.
Play games, raise cash, take cancer out.
100% of the money raised goes straight to those badass science boffins who save lives.
Stand Up to Cancer on Talk Radio. Rebels, you now have a cause. Search Stand Up to Cancer to sign up.
The end of summer. Night's drawing in. Everything's becoming dull.
But at Fiat, we laugh in the face of dull because colour lives on in the Fiat Festival of Paint. Buy a brand new Fiat 500 and we'll throw in a free paint upgrade worth up to £750. So you can stay colourful in Paso Doble Red, Smooth Mint, Epic Blue.
Free paint offer available on new Fiat 500s ordered between 28th August and 10th September and registered by 30th September 2017. Available from stock only, subject to availability for T's and C's. See fiat.co.uk.
At
Trade Point, we've got trade exclusive pricing on all kitchens. Like the Sanford textured Oak Effect slab kitchen, starting from just £572. Plus, we've got up to 12 kitchens stocked in store, ready to take away today. Price based on an 8-unit example, excludes VAT 20%. Trade only.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Access all radios.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip. Talk Radio.
It's 2 o'clock. Let's get the latest news from Pete Abbott.
Thank you, Tommy. Coming up, thousands shelter from Hurricane Harvey. M1 lorry driver appears in court and Indian guru sentenced.
Talk Radio.
Officials in the US expect 30,000 people to be put up in shelters because of flooding following Hurricane Harvey. It hit on Friday but has lingered as a tropical storm, dumping heavy rainfall. Water has reached the second floor of some buildings and people are being told to wait on the roof for rescue teams. Brock Long is the director of the US emergency agency FEMA and has been setting out its priorities.
Right now, in addition to search and rescue, the next objective is to stabilize disaster survivors. Once we move them, we're able to extract them from different areas and rescue them. We've got to get them into shelters.
A lorry driver has been remanded in custody after appearing in court charged over a crash on the M1 near Milton Keynes in which 8 people died. Richard Mazarek from Evesham in Worcestershire listened through a Polish interpreter and didn't indicate how he would plead. The 31-year-old will appear in court again in a month. Afterwards, Inspector Henry Parsons from Thames Valley Police detailed the allegations against him.
8 counts of causing death by dangerous driving, 4 counts of causing serious injury by dangerous driving, and 8 counts of causing death by careless driving whilst over the prescribed limit.
A driver who was heading the wrong way along a motorway in Wiltshire has died after hitting another car head-on. The other driver has serious injuries which are not considered life-threatening. The black Audi A3 also collided with several other vehicles on the eastbound M4 between Chippenham and Swindon last night. And a controversial spiritual guru in India has been sentenced to 10 years in jail for rape. At least 38 people died as supporters of Gurmeet Ram Rahim Singh, who claims to have millions of followers, went on the rampage following his conviction on Friday.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Very warm and sunny across much of England and Wales today. Cooler and windier in the northwest with outbreaks of rain. And today's high, 29 degrees Celsius. In sport, Kylian Mbappe's move to Paris Saint-Germain looks to be a step closer. A picture has emerged on social media of the striker's prospective replacement, Inter Milan forward Stefan Jovetic, wearing a Monaco shirt with Mbappe's number 10 on the back. It's reported Mbappe could initially join PSG on loan with the obligation to buy him for £166 million next summer. It's understood West Brom have rejected a second bid from Leicester for Johnny Evans, thought to be worth £21 million. Manchester City have also been linked with a move for the Northern Ireland defender. The US Open tennis gets underway today without Andy Murray or defending men's champion Stan Wawrinka. They're both injured, as is Novak Djokovic. British number one Johanna Konta gets underway against Serbia's Aleksandra Krunic. And in cricket, a short time ago, England were 260-4 in their second innings against the West Indies on day 4 of the second test at Headingley. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment. For those about to talk, we salute you.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Every week, sometimes twice a week, sometimes every day, sometimes twice a day, sometimes twice a morning, afternoon and evening, they come at us with things which if we eat or drink them, we're going to live longer. Coffee flip-flops like nobody's business, doesn't it, Cass?
And wine.
And red wine. Tea. 1 minute red wine is going to kill you, the next minute you're going to live forever if you drink a bottle a week or a bottle a day or 2 bottles a day or whatever. And it's quite hectic keeping up with it. But there's an underlying theme to it all, which, of course, is that we should all be trying desperately to live for as long as we possibly can. And there's two halves to this conversation. One half that we're going to have, first of all, which is that the latest revelation is that 4 cups of coffee a day will help you live longer. This is according to a study of 20,000 middle-aged men. What is middle-aged these days anyway, Cass? Just remind me. 32?
No.
Later?
It has to be.
Got vested interest in that?
Yep.
Okay. Let's say 60 then?
No.
No? Under 60?
40?
The British Medical... 42.
Because that's the answer to everything.
Douglas Adams.
Yeah.
Mind you, he's dead. He died 59.
Well, he got past 42 then.
Gymnasium accident. He was working too hard.
Oh, shut up.
He was sick. He was a huge man, Douglas Adams. I was just, you know, like you're really astonished when you meet somebody and you've got a mental picture of them.
Yeah, yeah.
I just didn't expect him to be 6'11" or whatever he was. Huge man. Very nice man. And very clever and very funny and very rich. So rich that when they told him he couldn't have a swimming pool in his house in Hampstead, right, he built an underground one.
Are you I never know when you're joking about these things.
I've never told a lie since 1957. No, I haven't. It's not a lie. I think it's sometimes you don't know what the truth is, do you?
Well, the truth can be whatever your interpretation of that situation is.
Back to the bottom of page 7.
Sorry, carry on.
Okay. The latest is that coffee is going to help you live forever. This is researchers at the Hospital de Navarra in Spain, where they carry out an awful lot of crucial research. We're always getting those Navarans sorting it out for us, aren't we? And they found that the people in their study who drank coffee regularly had mortality rates almost two-thirds lower than those who didn't.
So who were they studying?
People in and around the Navarra region, I presume.
Because we all know the Mediterranean diet is better than in some of, because of all the healthy oils and fats. And
they live longer.
And the all because of
because they all have economic problems.
But I don't. I just don't believe it's down to four. If I have four cups of coffee a day, I can't sleep at night, and
that's
depends
not
what good.
Sort of a cup of coffee. Because I like espresso. What do you like? You don't drink coffee.
No, I do. Yeah. I like the coffee percolator.
Just an ordinary coffee.
Well, it's usually strength 5 or above.
Yeah, but you can't go into a coffee shop and just ask for an ordinary coffee. Well, you can. But they'll tell you that's it. Oh, you want an Americano then?
Yeah, and I don't know what that is. So
it's black coffee.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's a shot of espresso topped up with hot water.
That's just a coffee.
And if they don't know what they're doing, they'll say to you, do you want your Americano black or white? But an Americano is a black coffee.
Oh.
Hence the name.
So you have to have four Americanos a day?
I think a shot of espresso is the equivalent of a full black coffee.
Right.
And therefore the equivalent of a latte, which has been tarted up a little bit with froth and cinnamon.
Better for you.
Let's ask somebody who might know. On the line we have journalist at The Independent, Dave McLean. Hello, Dave.
Hi, how are you doing?
Never been better. How about you?
Yeah, good.
This coffee story, then.
Yeah, I heard you just talking now, and we take some of these studies with a pinch of salt, because on Monday you're told something's good for you, and by Friday it's on the blacklist. But this study was incredibly in-depth. It was 20,000 people, which is way more than you'd usually study for a study like this. And it was over a 10-year period, which was quite interesting. So they asked 20,000 people right at the start, tell us about your lifestyle, tell us about what you eat and what you drink. And then they went back 10 years later on average, one in 60, I think, had died. So they could measure, the characteristics and lifestyle points of the people that had died, and found this very strong link that, you know, there was a two-thirds decrease in the chances of dying earlier if you were sinking four cups of coffee a day.
Yeah, I must say the British Heart Foundation, their phone will have been ringing off the hook today, won't it? Because they've got the one big story, which is that there's this new drug that's going to reduce by 25% your chances of having a heart attack. And on the other hand, I gather they're still warning people that you shouldn't drink too much coffee.
Yeah, they had a nice line this morning saying, don't line up the lattes just yet. Because if you are being sensible, you know that there isn't a single magic bullet. It's not having two glasses of red wine a night or four cups of coffee a day. To me, it would seem that it's partially common sense and partially your genetics that's going to decide whether you die early or whether you don't. And as with all of these studies, there's a couple of things to bear in mind. The first is, obviously, over a 10-year period, they can't monitor these people all of the time. So it's completely self-reported. People may be exaggerating how much they do and don't drink various substances. And then the second one is that, just because people who drink a lot of coffee in this study haven't died, that it doesn't necessarily mean that it's down to that. There could be all sorts of other factors at play. They might be generally more active. There may be commuters that are going into the office each day and having a coffee compared to people who are sat at home doing a lot less. So it's a very complicated area, but it's a fascinating talking point.
Mm. Yeah, and just as I remember an accountant years ago, he said to me, don't buy a house as an investment, buy a house for somewhere you want to enjoy living in. And similarly, when you get all this conflicting information about coffee and red wine and so on and so forth, I reckon the bottom line is, if you enjoy coffee, have a few cups of coffee every day. Not too many, but have a few cups of coffee and enjoy it. Don't think of it as being a medicine or an obligation, or it's going to make you, you know, live longer than whoever. Just enjoy it. Do you drink a lot of coffee, Mr. McLean?
Oh, far too much of it. But the thing that kind of cheered me about this is there's, you know, 55 million cups of coffee a day are drank in the UK, and I'm sure that, unlike tea, there feels a bit of a health stigma around it. It hypes up your stress hormone, cortisol, gets you in that fight or flight mood. And when I drink it in the morning, I always feel a little pang of guilt because I know it's raising my heart rate. It's putting me in a negative physical state. And seeing something like this when I came in this morning, I thought, well, we've got to trumpet that. I'll make myself feel a little bit better in future when I'm downing espressos.
See, now here you are talking about yourself in a sort of all action man tone. I can't help but notice that your name is the same as the star of Die Hard movies.
That's right. Yeah, it's very similar, only I do my action sat at a desk all day in Kensington.
It must be very annoying to have the same name as, what's his name, John McClane, wasn't it?
It was John McClane.
It must be very distracting watching the movie and having that keep going on, and it's halfway to being you.
It is, that's right. There was also an odd Tory MP with the same name recently that was trying to clamp down on FOI laws, so I got some stick from that one as well.
Yeah. Did that? Was he successful?
He wasn't, thankfully. Oh,
thankfully, that's right. Have you yourself used, either privately or professionally, freedom of information?
Yeah, I used to. I used to be on regional newspapers back in the day, so covering the councils and local MPs, and it was the most incredible resource.
Yes, when there's not much else going, let's put in a freedom of information request. We've checked all the police stations, and there's no if it bleeds, it leads. So let's go freedom of information. I hear what you're saying. You're obviously a dyed-in-the-wool journalist. I contacted Freedom of Information once myself because I wanted to know whether, because I lived quite close to Portsmouth, whether MI5 believed that the Russians still had nuclear missiles pointed at Portsmouth, which it was said that they obviously would have done back in the Cold War, because obviously you've got to knock out Portsmouth because it's the headquarters of the Royal Navy.
And
the reply I got back was that information, I'm not entitled to that information. So you can get told to go away, can't you, with freedom of information?
You can, and there are so many caveats. I mean, the one thing I would say about it is a lot of journalists ended up abusing the Freedom of Information Act. So you had those tedious stories about how much a police force spent on chocolate biscuits in a year for various meetings, and naturally with a big organization you got these huge numbers coming out of it, but used for good you could expose some serious wrongdoing.
Yeah, are you working on anything you can't tell us about at the moment?
Well, I'm in the lifestyle field now. I'm the lifestyle editor here at The Independent, so it's all the generally the lighter side of life, so there's no issues of national security on my desk at the moment, I'm afraid.
What do you think about the possibility that if you talk, you can lose weight? Oh, you weren't listening. Earlier on in the programme, we unearthed this nugget of information, which is that if you talk, you use up as many calories. If you talk for 12 hours, you use up the same amount of calories as if you go on a 5-mile run. I can just see this being in next week's Independent, but you can Google it yourself. It's a fact. You use up 50, 60 calories an hour talking.
That's interesting. And I kind of feel like maybe I do even more because I've got to be on my feet when I'm talking on the phone. I don't know about you.
Oh, I'm standing up.
We didn't touch upon that, did we? No. Standing on your
standing
feet.
Standing up, yeah. So I've got a picture of you now. We all have, Dave. Quite a slim Jim.
I used to be very fat. I lost about 5 stone 4 years ago.
Did you?
But I think it's all the chatting. But I'm all right now.
All right, well, it's
been great to talk to you this afternoon. Thank you for your time.
Great. See you later.
Later. What a nice man.
That was interesting, though, wasn't it?
All of it.
That he's lost 5 stone.
He's lost 5 stone.
And he thinks it yes. might be related to talking.
No, you put those words slightly into his mouth.
No, he said it could be because of all the talking I'm doing.
Yeah, but we all know what words like could and might mean, don't we?
Well...
It means that there's nothing in it, but we're going to say it anyway because it will fill the next paragraph.
Okay, well, fine then.
Am I being cynical?
I just don't believe you about that cheese sandwich story from earlier.
Rupert Sheldrake is a highly respected scientist who is doing privately and publicly funded research at Cambridge University into what is called the morphogenic force. Because he wants to know why it is that, for example, if you take a chrysalis of a cricket...
No, hang on. No, this was about cheese sandwiches early. Now
I'll get there.
Right.
I'll get there. Pay attention.
I'm listening.
She's on her bloody phone.
No, I'm looking at it because you're a liar.
Right, you take a chrysalis, right, that's got a bug growing in it, all right, and you cut that in half by tying a thread round it and tying the thread tight. What do you get in the top chrysalis and the bottom chrysalis where you've done that? What you actually get is two chrysalises come out, two bugs come out. It's called bugs. Two bugs come out. The one at the top has got a fully formed head and an upper body and upper legs and slightly well-formed bottom bits. The one below is the opposite. It's got a small head, small upper body and perfectly formed full-sized hind quarters. And Sheldrake's got loads of examples like that that suggest that there is some sort of force that we don't know about yet. And look, we don't know that much, do we? We don't know what causes gravity. We don't know how life started on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
If they're certain that it came out of a primordial soup, why haven't they been able to recreate it in a laboratory? You know, we don't know diddly squat, and we don't know about certain forces. And he's got this huge research programme looking into morphogeny, and I find it really interesting. Here's an interesting one. Try this, right? They've got 60 English-speaking American students, and they tried to teach them two poems in Japanese, which none of them spoke. One of them was a time-honoured Japanese poem, which is known by every Japanese person in the world and has been known by every Japanese person for 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in the firmament. The other poem was constructed specially for the experiment that sounded a bit like the other one, the traditional one, but was not known by anybody before it was presented to those students. All of the students found it remarkably easy to learn the time-honoured one, known by millions of Japanese people, and virtually impossible to learn the one that nobody else knew. So what he's drifting towards is something that we sometimes call ESP, and trying to prove that it exists. And one of his benefactors or supporters is supposed to be BT. But I think that's just a rumour.
I would say that's probably a rumour.
What, the BT are working on?
Well, no, just that they might be investing in that.
No, BT are working on telepathy. Again, that's not a conspiracy theory.
I don't have enough time to Google
this
all this nonsense.
This goes back years. It's been well known in Fleet Street for years that BT have been investigating the possibility. They're doing it out in a plant they've got in the East Anglia way. I don't know exactly where.
But the thing is, how are they going to... Because obviously they're going to want to monopolise that.
Yes, they're going to make money out of it, yes. They've got money, BT.
But if it's something... that is inbuilt into the human brain, how are they going to charge you for that? Are they going to have an app?
A meter on your ass.
Tommy!
I don't know. I'm just saying that it would be a better form of communication than the telephone.
Well, you should know what I'm thinking.
And what it would
right
mean
now.
For radio, goodness only knows. How would that work?
It'd probably be another app.
All right. Well, I'm going to introduce the next... ad break just by thinking about it. Here we go.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Pick up your phone and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Mum, what else can we do in the holidays?
Well, tomorrow, Dad's launching us across the galaxy with Rogue One, a Star Wars story. Then we could go on an island adventure with Disney's Moana. And next weekend, we can discover fantastic beasts and where to find them. Epic!
Begin your adventure today by grabbing a Now TV Sky Cinema Pass and stream over 1,000 movies without a contract. To start your 14-day free trial, search Now TV. 18 plus new customers only. Auto renews at $9.99 unless cancelled.
I can't believe it. This is amazing. Thank you, universe.
Dave, it's just a shopping trolley.
It already had a pound in it.
That's what we call one of life's small victories. And here's another. Get a Vauxhall Astra SRI for just £215 a month, plus advance rental. Vauxhall, isn't life brilliant? Search small victories. Personal contract hire. Advance rental of £4,945. 35 monthly rentals of £215. Excess miles over contracted mileage of 24,000 over 36 months, charged at 11 pence per mile. You will not own the car. T's and C's apply. Order by 2nd October 2017.
I'm an old school kind of guy. I don't use my phone for taking selfies, tagging friends, or sending texts full of emojis. But I do use my phone for having a flutter on the footy. And Betfred's Pick Your Punt has made me embrace the new. So if you've got a great idea for a bet, tweet it to hashtag Pick Your Punt and Betfred will tweet you back with the odds. Create unique bets with Pick Your Punt. So whenever you bet, Betfred.
18 plus T&Cs apply. Please bet responsibly. Gamblerware.co.uk. Selected events only. Markets made available at Betfred's discretion. Maximum stake applies.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Problems for the M23 southbound in Surrey. It's currently blocked between the M25 at Junction 7 and Junction 9 for Gatwick Airport after an accident involving several vehicles, so traffic is stationary on the approach. Long delays as well towards London on the M43 Berkshire after an accident between Junction 8 at Maidenhead and Junction 7 for Slough. And lengthy queue southbound on the M53 Somerset. It was following an accident between Junction 23 and 24. That's the Bridgewater exits. I'm Louisa Gale.
The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
It's 21 minutes past two. I always wonder what is the point of doing extremely accurate time checks in the middle of the afternoon on a bank holiday, and yet one finds oneself drawn to doing it.
Well, we don't actually need to.
No, I know. I know.
Well, then stop doing it.
It's an odd thing about the time. I often, always think this, because sometimes I listen to American radio, and they always say it's 28 minutes past. And I think, how does that work? Because this show's going out in New York, Wisconsin and Los Angeles. And of course it does. Because wherever you are in the world, it's now 22 minutes past.
I hadn't thought of that.
It is, isn't it?
I had never thought of that.
Except for one place. And maybe somebody who's free could Google this just to find out if I'm lying. Because I haven't lied yet, not since 1957.
I thought it was 56.
57. There's a place in, I think it's in northern India, and I think it's a independent province or something, for whatever reason, they are, wait a second, they are something like 4.25 hours ahead of us.
That's...
Everywhere else is either 4 hours ahead or 5 hours behind, all the world over. And wherever you are on planet Earth, it's Monday.
No.
Yeah?
No.
Well, I mean, I know if it gets to be Tuesday a little bit earlier.
Or... You know, if it's Sunday.
But it's still Monday. It's still, you know, today is the same day the world over. I always wonder how that came about. Was there a meeting? Let's have a word with John, who calls from Brighton, who is on. He wants to talk about amateur radio. Hello, John.
Hello, Tommy.
John.
How are you, my old mate?
About 98%. How about you?
I'm absolutely fine. It'd be better if I could work this radio I got given.
Right,
I'm
so
given, Tommy.
How do you know I'm on then if you can't work your radio?
Well, it's not a radio that you listen to you on. It's an amateur radio set.
Oh, right, you've got a broadcasting set up.
I've got an amateur radio rig, yeah.
Okay,
ham
and you
radio
can't...
rig.
Oh, right, okay, and you can't... Did you ever see Ham Radio with Tony Hancock?
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant.
So you got one of these, but you can't make it work.
I can't get the damn thing to work. I'm actually blind. It's got loads of different switches on it. And I'll just, you know, I'm a bit confused by it, to be honest. And I know you're on amateur radio as well, because my friend told me.
Does it really show?
Yes.
Good, thank you. Right, let's go back to, what should we talk about? Your blindness, because that's always... informative and interesting. How long have you been without sight? And are you completely without sight?
I could see light and dark. I was born with it.
Oh, John.
You know, at the end of the day, mate, it's just one of these things that happens, you know?
Have you got colours?
If you've never had it, you ain't going to miss it.
No, but all the same, it makes the rest of us stop and think for a second, and that's a good thing. So you've never seen the difference between blue and red?
No. I still support Arsenal for my sins.
Oh, yeah. No, I will laugh. I laugh along with you about that at the moment. Dear God.
Oh, dear. 16th in the flipping league. We're awful. Down that road.
You're saying words I don't understand now.
Words we don't understand. We'll move on. So how long have you had this radio kit that you can't work, John?
I've had it for a few weeks. A friend gave it to me. It was sitting in his garage. It's an old Yaesu 767 GX.
Sounds more like a motorbike to me. Are you sure it is a radio?
Yeah, it is. And I know the radio you've got as well, because my friend told me that as well. You've got a Kenwood TS2000.
Have you got a Kenwood TS2000?
As far as I know.
Did you have one
before? You have.
John knows. John knows you've got it. Admit to it.
Where do I keep it?
He keeps it in his radio shack.
Are you talking to... Who are you talking to, John, as far as you know?
I'm talking to a mate of mine called Neil, and he went to one of your barbecues, Tommy.
Have you had a barbecue?
About a year ago.
Did you have a barbecue about a year ago, and did you get your Kenwood TS2000 out?
I never remember anything about a barbecue a day afterwards. It's just an excuse to drink lots of Fosters out of a bucket.
And what he said
is
he said, Tommy, I'm going to nick your radio, and you told him to Foxtrot Oscar.
This just feels like a parallel universe.
I'm starting to think that maybe your friend John has possibly exaggerated a barbecue story.
Or something. But what I'll do, John, because I was about to regale the listening public with something and I've forgotten what it was now because I'm completely distracted. I didn't know Kenwood made radios. There's so many things in this about this conversation I don't understand.
They make a TS2000, you know.
Apparently, but it just does sound like a motorbike to me.
I've got a 570 as well.
Okay. Well, I would suggest that you tweet me or talk to me on Facebook, John, but I'm on neither, so you can't. So maybe...
Well, does your friend not know how to work this radio that he's given you?
Yes.
Good question. He hasn't got a clue.
No. So where did he get it from?
He was just sitting in his garage. It was an old friend from years ago. He had it stashed away in the back of his cupboard in the garage. And he said, do you want a couple of HF rigs, John? And I said, yeah, okay. Mm. What ones are they? And he said, one's a Yaesu 102 and one's a 767. And that's the one I've got rigged up now.
Have you plugged it in?
Yeah, I've plugged it in.
Have you tried turning it off and on again?
Yeah.
Right, that's me done.
I'm out of solutions
as
well.
As far as I'm going.
I'll stick with what you know, John, but thank you very much indeed for your call. It was interesting, very interesting.
Informative.
And we'll talk to you again sometime, but bye for now. Okay. All right, let's just briefly pick the bones out of that, Kaz.
Yep. You've got a radio. You had it at a barbecue.
What was that all about?
I don't know.
It was kind of interesting though, wasn't it?
Well, it would be if it happened.
It didn't.
Are you sure?
None of it is the case. A former prime minister who I once met shared with me this, that when somebody comes up to him and says that they remember him from something that they, somewhere where they met a long time ago, he always obfuscates. Because he can never remember everybody.
Oh, yeah.
But people don't want to hear him say, I'm sorry, I don't remember you. So he says something along the lines of, I remember you were with a lovely young lady called Catherine, and then he drifts off. I won't say which former Prime Minister this is. But that's his way of getting out of a story not circulating that he's, you know, got memory problems or he doesn't remember people because he's a bit of a snob or something like that.
The thing is, we've all had that though, haven't we? We've had people come up and say, oh God, hi, how are you? I just fake it. I'm like, oh my God, I've not seen you for ages, how are you? Oh, how are you doing yet? And then I try and listen into a conversation where someone might say the name that might then trigger me to remember. Or I say, add me on Facebook.
It is tricky, isn't it? Pete? Are you, is there anything that's ever crossed your path? Somebody?
I have a terrible memory for names. I forgot, if I'm introduced to someone, I've forgotten their name by the time I finish shaking hands.
Me too. It's because I'm absorbing other more important pieces of information, like what is this person like?
Yeah.
Are we going to get on? I wonder what we'll talk about. I was at a party and the hostess, who I knew, suddenly dragged me away from some people I was with and said, there's somebody you must meet. And she said, I'd like you to meet Lydia Couperet. Lydia, this is Mike Reed.
I've met Mike Reed as well.
Which one? But yeah.
The Radio 1 one.
Yeah. So anyway, there was a...
either one is not a good thing.
No, but the thing was the hostess drifted off. And I knew her. I don't know what was going on. I knew her. And so I just leaned across and I said, I'm terribly sorry. I said, but I'm not Mike Reed. She said, oh, that's perfectly all right. I'm not Lydia Couperet. So again, you know, what was all that about? Good fun, though. Let's grab some news. That's the real reason why Pete is with us. You're tuned to Talk Radio. It's Tommy Boyd in for John Holmes on this Bank Holiday Monday. It is 2:30 and it is news time. Here's Pete.
Talk Radio.
More than 450,000 people are likely to need help in Texas because of flooding caused by Hurricane Harvey. Over 30,000 homeowners are expected to be placed in temporary shelters after the storm made landfall over the weekend. Schools, airports and office buildings in Houston have shut, and volunteers with boats are helping to rescue people. Police say a suspected chemical haze that came in off the sea in East Sussex was probably not chlorine. It left beachgoers with streaming eyes and sore throats while some were sick. The public are no longer being advised to keep their windows and doors closed. A lorry driver facing 20 charges over a motorway horror crash that left 8 people dead has appeared in court. 31-year-old Richard Mazarak is accused of being over the alcohol limit when his truck was involved in the incident on the M1 in Buckinghamshire early on Sunday. 6 men and 2 women in a minibus died after the collision. As Brexit talks restart in Brussels, David Davis is said to be frustrated over the attention being focused on the so-called divorce bill. The Brexit secretary is demanding flexibility and imagination to speed up the negotiation process. But Labour MP and Remain campaigner Stephen Kinnock says the EU's chief negotiator, Michel Barnier, has to do what member states have asked him to do.
They've mandated him to focus on the Northern Ireland border, on the financial settlement and on the reciprocal rights of EU citizens in the UK and of British citizens in the EU. Barnier's hands are tied.
And US doctors believe an anti-inflammatory drug represents a potential new era of treatment. It has the potential to reduce the risk of heart attacks by 15% and cut deaths caused by cancer by at least half. Today's weather, very warm and sunny across much of England and Wales. Cooler and windier in the northwest with outbreaks of rain. Today's high, 29 degrees Celsius. There's more news in half an hour.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Mid-mornings with Julia Hartley Brewer. Join the Fleet Street firebrand who isn't afraid to shoot from the lip.
I'll be talking about all the biggest stories. If you're talking about them, so are we. But we'll get behind the headlines, talk to the biggest guests and those politicians, just so you don't have to.
Julia Hartley Brewer.
Are you?
Tomorrow morning from 10.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment. Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
We're on 0344 499 1000. I'll say it again more slowly in just a second. This afternoon we've been talking about the psychology of profanity and the idea that swearing is not only acceptable and good for you and encourages and nurtures intelligence but also makes you physically stronger. I've been talking about the fact that it's an extremely hot bank holiday and it'll be a record one if it goes up something like 1.5 Celsius, centigrade, whatever it is, centimetres.
Degrees, centigrade.
That we talk about nowadays, which is crazy because Fahrenheit was so much better, but never mind. We've been talking about a really interesting new diet. Did you know, and it's a fact, and we discovered it ourselves yesterday, that talking helps you lose weight. You can lose as much weight as you would on a 5-mile run if you talk for 12 hours a day. 4 cups of coffee could slash your chances of an early death. Been talking about that. And we've also been talking about burglary and the possibility that the reason that there are so many unoccupied homes in central London and so few elsewhere in the country is because London criminals have gone soft.
Got lazy.
And they aren't putting the oligarchs in jeopardy of coming back and finding that their 8-foot televisions have been removed. The telephone number is then 03444 0344 991 1000, or you can text 87222. And Dave Bennett,
you've got to start your message with the word talk.
Oh yeah, sorry, thank you. Sorry, you have to start your message with the word
otherwise
talk.
Otherwise, it don't get to us.
I must do this because working in phone-in radio, which is a great privilege, I usually take the precaution of phoning the station that I'm about to do some work for before I show up to find out what the experience is like of phoning that radio station switchboard.
Oh, so you go through the customer journey. That's what it's known as.
You're trained, aren't you?
I am.
That's marketing speak, that was, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
It was hospitality marketing speak. Yes, I go through the customer journey, but I'm not going to do it now. What I'm going to do is read out the text that's come from Dave Bennett, who says, never have I heard... Can you say Hobo Media?
Yeah, that's my Twitter handle.
Oh, I'm sorry. Never have I heard at Hobo Media.
Hobo
Media. Never have I heard at Hobo Media sound so happy.
I'm very
that's
happy.
Nice. Yeah.
I enjoy working with you, Tommy.
What were we talking about or going to talk about? We're going to be talking about horror movies very shortly.
We were going to encourage people to call in with stories of never meeting you.
Yeah, and people do exaggerate. It's important to exaggerate. I exaggerate. If I'm on a plane and Kirk Douglas is up the front, I can't just go round to my mates for a beer later and say, I was on a plane and Kirk Douglas was up front.
Why not?
There's nothing in it. I've got to exaggerate a little bit.
Well, not necessarily, because then that might lead to someone saying, oh yeah, I was sat next to Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah, but then that won't go anywhere, because that's all it will be. I was sat next to Catherine Zeta-Jones.
All right, so how would you exaggerate the story?
Well, I don't exaggerate too much. I would say something
like... Because apparently you've not lied since...
No, I haven't lied, no. But I would say something like, I was on a flight back from Los Angeles to Heathrow, and guess who sat down next to me but Kirk Douglas?
Yep.
And I would say that what I didn't do was say to him, hey, aren't you Kirk Douglas? Who, by the way, is still alive, over 100. Did you know that? Is he? Is he not still alive? I think he is.
I'm not sure. Maybe somebody out there can...
An idea that I sent off to Sean Cassidy, who was at the time the head of entertainment programmes on Channel 4, was a show called Is He Dead Yet? Because my dad always used to say when somebody came on in a movie, he'd always go, oh, look who that is, dear, to my wife, mum. And he'd go, 2 seconds pause, then he'd go, is he dead yet? It was the yet that always amused us, right?
Yeah.
Is he dead yet? So I sent this off to Sean Cassidy and he came back and he said it was a good idea. I'd only sent it to him as a joke.
Do you know, I don't think I remember seeing that programme.
It didn't go. It didn't get to air because Sean said, I'll only do it if you can get Emma Freud to host.
And you couldn't.
It was the time when Emma Freud was it. She's still a bit it, actually, isn't she?
Well, why don't you pitch it again now?
Times have changed.
Apparently Kirk Douglas is still alive.
Yes, he is. And... I would say that I sat next to him, but I didn't mention the fact he was Kirk Douglas.
Or that he was still alive.
It would have been fairly obvious. They carry corpses, don't they, in the hold?
I do.
They do? How else do you get back if you pass away
in
Malaga?
Let's not dwell on that.
How else are you going to get back? They can't put you... They can't
dwell on that.
But, you know, not everybody's El Cid,
but
if you know what I'm
talking about. That's not even exaggerating an interesting story.
Yes.
Because I said the exact same thing to you about, yes. Oh, I was on a plane. If we were talking, you said, oh, Kirk Douglas was up front. Oh, that's interesting, because I sat on a plane next to Catherine Zeta-Jones. That's the exact same story you've just told, apart from the added, but I didn't say anything
to
him.
Yeah, but the thing is that the added bit is the crucial bit, because it's, you know, the sort of insight, the amusement bit, the strange bit, the particular bit. I was sitting in a pub in a place called Richmond, donkeys years ago, and then it was my turn to go up and get the round. So I'm standing at the bar, and there's several blokes standing there next to me, and one of them says this, I'll tell you who I saw last night in the cobwebs. And they all went, oh. And he went, at Geezer Tommy Boyd off the children's telly. And I went, hello? And they went, yeah? Was he like? Now, I'd gone into that pub that night because I'd taken a girlfriend. I was taking a girlfriend to see a film. And I had a pint of bitter. And then because we only had about 10 minutes before the film was due to start, I had a quick scotch. That was it. Where's the harm in that? Where's the story in that? So old Motormouth, he gives it this. He's a right alcoholic, isn't he? Right? It's a true, completely true story. They all went, yeah.
yeah, he looks it. And he went, he then said this. He had 6 points and he chased them all down with a large scotch. No, he never. He did, he never. Did he? He's only little. And it was only in about 20 minutes. He was really going at it. Ratted he was.
Ratted.
So that's what can happen. And you know,
well,
you
did you say anything to them? Did you go, excuse me?
Well, what are you going to say? I'm not that interesting.
Well,
men want to be interesting. Men want to be like that. I would have very much liked to have drunk 6 pints and chased them all away with a double scotch each in 20 minutes. I would love to have been that man, but I'm not. I'm quite happy for it to go out there like that. Bring it on. I have hollow legs. I am...
Is that the worst rumour you've ever heard about yourself?
Yeah, actually, I am pretty boring, to be honest. But happily boring.
Well,
I don't make headlines. I've always made a point of trying not to be in the news.
Well, that's probably the best way to be, isn't it?
You're tuned to Talk Radio. We are talking in the next, and what I'm going to call segment, although that rather overdresses it, I think. We are going to be talking in the next segment about horror movies, which are in the news for two key reasons. Quick reminder that our text address or number is 87222. Start your message with the word talk. And I also need to just quickly tell you, for reasons of T's and C's, that texts cost 25 pence and your standard network rate. I'm Tommy Boyd. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Are you watching? Are you watching? Are you watching every game? Are you watching every game? Are you watching? Are you watching? Are you watching every game?
Every match on Sky Sports and BT Sport. This is football from Virgin Media. Cabled areas only. Search Virgin Media Football for more information.
TradePoint, we've got trade-exclusive pricing on all kitchens. Like the Sanford textured Oak Effect Slab Kitchen, starting from just £572. Plus, we've got up to 12 kitchens stocked in-store, ready to take away today. Price based on an 8-unit example. Excludes VAT 20%. Trade only.
So, I got home from school on Friday and Mummy said we were getting a panda. And I was happy because I like pandas. They're bigger than kittens and very, very fluffy. Mummy and Daddy said pandas are practical and great value for money. It will have to live in the garage, but that's okay because we don't have a car right now. So there's space.
Be quick. The Fiat Panda Pop, available for a limited time from £6,995, saving £2,410 on the list price. T's and C's apply at participating dealers ordered and registered by 30th September 2017.
Right now, all Wren kitchens are half price with an extra 25% off. And there's 10% off all worktops, all when you buy 5 or more units. Hurry, ends Wednesday at 10 p.m.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
No change or improvement for the M23 southbound in Surrey. Two lanes are still closed between the M25 at Junction 7 and Junction 9 for Gatwick Airport after an accident involving several vehicles. So that's causing delays now well up to an hour. There are problems in Skegness for the A52 Roman Bank. That's blocked in both directions after an accident at Scarborough Avenue. And problems for traffic heading south on the A38 in Derbyshire. That's currently blocked between the M1 at Junction 28 and the Watchhorn Island because of a spillage. I'm Louisa Gale.
Darkness falls across the land. It's 10 o'clock, says the little hand. The ordinary folk will turn out the light, happy to go gently into that good night. Not so the night people, funky but neat. For them the hour is deliciously sweet. Kick off your slippers, don't go to bed. The party's just starting. You can sleep when you're dead. Set free your mind, let your fancy take flight. Conversation gets curious closer by the glow of moonlight. It's electric, it's eclectic, it's always rule-free. It's the late-night alternative with that man, Ian Lee. Get all thriller, no filler night dog that's like nothing else on the radio. The late-night alternative with Ian Lee. Tonight from 10 on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
So my question is this. When don't T's and C's apply?
What do you mean?
Well, you get an awful lot of your time taken up by hearing that T's and C's apply.
Yep.
You see it on documents, you get it, or you get flyers through your door, you see posters up outside golf clubs, and at the bottom it just says terms and conditions apply. When don't they? Why do you have to say it?
If you're not buying something, so if you're not buying into a product or entering a competition, like if you're crossing the road,
well, you're
the terms and conditions.
Loggerheads here, because whilst you were making up an explanation,
I wasn't making up an explanation.
Harry, I think, was making up an explanation as well. No, I beg your pardon. My excellent tech operator, Josh, was making up an explanation which was different from yours. So, in other words, you don't know when there aren't terms and conditions.
Well, that's basically what I just said.
But there are always terms and conditions. If you make a transaction, you're subject to, the laws of trading, aren't you?
That's why I'm saying whenever you're buying into something or entering a competition.
It always sounds vaguely sort of alternative romance, if I can put S&M like that. You know, T's and C's. It's sort of like... doesn't it? Well, it does. It does. T's and C's. It just sounds like something you'd have to pay a little bit extra for. Do you want T's and C's with that? If you pronounced it differently, T's and C's, then you can see that you've clearly got something that previously was only available in Bangkok. Or maybe it's just the way my mind works.
I think it is, because I've got now to come back with that on.
How is Caprice?
She's lovely.
Good.
I worked with her on Saturday. That's just... I was telling Tommy, which is why I just brought it up.
Don't have to tell the listener that. They don't care.
No, they do care.
What was the most frightening horror film? What is the most frightening horror film you've ever seen? Because we're going to be talking in this block of radio about horror films for good newsworthy reasons. So what's the big scariest one you've seen?
The one that has affected me the most is the... Well, there's kind of two, because they're both on an equal par for me. It's the original The Ring... and the original Grudge.
Back to Caprice again.
No, they're Japanese horror films.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Is that the one with the video?
Yes,
yes.
The one with the video, and then the Grudge is the one with the woman coming down the stairs and she's all, like, twisted and stuff.
Right.
So
you like suspense rather than gore?
No. I like all horror.
Oh, dear.
I love to be scared, but I don't get scared anymore. And I'm not shocked. Yeah, I've seen all the, I remember the Video Nasties from the 90s. Do you remember that, Video Nasties?
Vaguely.
And all the really gory horror films, and then, watching the 70s and 80s horror films when they were on the telly, or if I got them on back in the day, VHS or DVD.
Mm.
And I think because I've immersed myself into that world so much, I can't be scared. But those two films, The Ring and The Grudge, I must have been early 20s. And after I watched it, no word of a lie, I had to sleep with the light on. I'm not even joking or exaggerating. Those two films terrified me.
So when was the last time you had to sleep with the light on? If you remember, it's way back.
Yeah, long time.
Around about that era.
Yeah, so about 12, 13 years ago.
I slept with the light on, this is about two decades ago, after I'd watched a Crime Watch and I was living in a flat on my own.
Do you remember, do you remember Ghost Watch on the BBC? It caused massive...
Once I've translated it, yes. Sorry.
Always mocking me.
No. I just had to stop for a second. Ghost Watch, you mean?
Ghost Watch. But do you remember it?
See, you can do it.
No, I can, but why
Carry
should
on.
I have to?
Ghost Watch. Yep. No, please.
Why should I have to?
You were watching Ghost Watch.
Yes. I remember, because I must have been about 7 or 8, and there was a big controversy at the time, because there had been a warning right at the beginning of it saying that this is just a mockumentary, it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
But then they hadn't been reminded throughout, and I remember having to sleep in my mum and dad's bed with the light on. I don't know why, but listening to Bonnie Tyler.
Had to be Bonnie Tyler, or just Bonnie Tyler was on the turntable?
It was on the cassette, but I remember Ghostwatch.
Your mum and dad go to bed with Bonnie Tyler?
Well, no, it's because they put me to bed because I was crying.
Oh, I see. Right. And they had some music as well, just to keep you company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you know, when you leave a dog older and you put the radio on.
I was about 27 and I was going to bed in a flat on my own, and a huge spider appeared on the shag pile carpet. This was the 70s. And
what's that got to do with it?
Well, I wouldn't want to be mistaken for somebody who in this day and age uses shag pile in the...
Oh, I see. Bedroom. Okay, fine. Carry on.
And it scuttled, and it was a big one, and it scuttled under the bed. And so I moved the bed to one side and it stayed scuttling under the bed. You can't do anything about it. And because it was a shag pile, I couldn't get a fishing rod, which is what I was going to do.
A fishing rod?
Well, how else are you going to get underneath a bed and ease a large
spider? I thought you were staying in your friend's flat.
No, this was my flat.
Your flat?
Yes.
I thought you said your friend's flat.
No, I didn't.
Okay, fine.
All right. So I slept on the bed in my clothes with the light on, holding a tennis racket.
Well, I guess it attacked you in the night.
Sorry? Well, no, I didn't like the idea of a spider. Anyway, the story gets worse because the following morning, the spider was apparently gone. So I got dressed, and the final act of getting dressed was to slip my white-socked feet into this beautiful new pair of Lacoste canvas tennis shoes that I'd only worn the once.
Oh, is this going to be an icky story?
Yeah, because down at the bottom end of the Lacoste tennis shoe... came the sensation of a crunch, followed by a slight squelch.
Oh.
Yeah, there was livestock. Livestock down horrible. At the end of this tennis shoe. Johnny Seifert.
Seifert.
Thank you. The kind compliment. Always has such good anecdotes. Listening in Gran Canaria.
Hi, Johnny Seifert.
Nice one. Yes, so that was the last time I slept with the light on, as far as I can remember. But we're talking about horror films, mm-hmm. Partly because we are paying our respects to one of the great masters of the craft, Tobe Hooper.
Yep.
T-O-B-E Hooper.
Yep.
Who made a movie that I know you're familiar with, Cass.
A couple.
I'm not. Particularly...
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Legendary film, isn't it? I mean, and how could it fail to attract attention with a title like that? But is it gory or is it suspenseful?
It's gory.
Okay.
It's quite gory. But then his other film, Poltergeist, is suspenseful, but it's got the supernatural element to it. So there were a lot of what at the time were groundbreaking special effects.
Mm.
I mean, the remakes, rubbish. Mm. Don't bother with remakes. They're not good.
No. No. And can you think of the most horrifying moment in all the horror films that you've seen, and what was it?
I don't know if I can say it on air.
Why not? Which film was it?
Well, a lot of them are really quite violent and horrible.
Hmm.
I mean, like the Saw films, which I know that you're not familiar with at all.
No.
You're not familiar with any horror films, are you? This is like just a one-sided conversation.
Excuse me, I could go through Frankenstein frame by frame.
That is a classic.
In fact, I've said in the past, if I were ever to get to utter one movie line for real in a movie, it would be this: "It's alive! It's alive!" What a line! It's alive. There's another one that's almost as good.
Go on.
I can't remember what movie it is, but she goes, "Oh, please don't move. Oh, please don't move."
Oh, is she in like a mortuary or something?
I don't know. I can't remember. I just remember going, when she went, "Please don't move." I took my eyes away from the screen, so I never saw what it was.
Yeah.
But she went, "Please don't move." And whatever it was, it did.
Mm.
Right? But that, along with "It's Alive" from Frankenstein. So my interest in horror movies, I suppose, began to decline during the Hammer horror era, when I used to pay good money with my friend, Podge Pembroke, and we used to sneak in at the back, because he was 6'4". And so we could get in to see an X-rated movie. And he always used to bring some cigars for us to smoke at the back as well. It's pathetic, but I did.
Did you feel like an adult?
A slightly nauseous adult.
Yeah.
But I didn't find horror, Hammer films particularly suspenseful or particularly shocking or gory. And in the end, the most attractive aspect of the Hammer horror genre for me as a 17-year-old was the fact that there was always a buxom wench in it. And, you know,
people do look back at the Hammer Horror with very romantic thoughts, though,
yeah,
don't they?
I drifted away from the whole Hammer. Although, shortly after we started going out together, my then girlfriend, now wife, persuaded me, forced me to go and see The Exorcist.
That's a good film.
It is a good film.
It's a very good film.
A very good film. Max von Sydow, isn't it, plays the vicar. And apparently they had to create an enormous fridge for the room that she is in because the director was so keen on them having cold breath.
Yeah, real.
And there's no way you can fake that.
No. So well, not back then.
Can they do it now?
Yeah, they're just throwing some CGI,
oh,
don't they?
I hate CGI.
But you can tell that it's not real.
CGI, if Jaws, if Spielberg had made Jaws and he'd had to use CGI, it wouldn't have been as good as that terrible rubber fish.
Boris.
That was it called Boris?
I think it was called Boris.
That rubber fish, mate. And when they started putting CGI in the original Star Wars, which is now called Star Wars 4, that spoilt it too. Just make it all real. Rubber monsters are much more scary because they're tangible than CGI, for me anyway.
Well, funny you should say that. Recently I rewatched The Dark Crystal, which was a kids' film, and it was done. It was all animatronics by Jim Henson's puppet company that did all the Muppets and everything. And that is still terrifying.
Joss has additional information on that. Put your mic on.
Yeah, they're going to make a new series of that, actually, on Netflix.
Series of what?
Dark Crystal.
Oh, bloody hell. They're serialising everything.
I know.
Yeah.
Can't run out of ideas.
You've seen all the models, though. The concept art from it looks incredible, but they've gone for the physical side of it again, which is something Hollywood's really moving back towards, having realised, as you've said, Tommy, CGI is utterly useless in terms of actually creating physical effects.
It's just not solid enough, really. But anyway, we got back from The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah.
And I was living in a basement flat in Brighton on my own. And my girlfriend came back, now wife, came back with me. And I did something, and it wasn't meant to be cruel. But you know the sequence in The Exorcist where her head spins round through 360 degrees?
Yep.
Well, Jane went to this little kitchenette in this basement flat, and she was going to make us each a cup of coffee. And so I took off the shirt that I was wearing, which had a collar and a front with buttons, and I put it on the other way round. That was the start of it, right?
And she married you?
That wasn't the end of it.
God.
I sat in this armchair that, as you came into the living room, the armchair was in the middle of the room, and so you'd see the back of a person's head when you came into the living room, and we'd just seen The Exorcist. So she came in with two cups of coffee, and as she did so, I rotated my head so that I was facing her. And I just said, "I am that Tommy, I am the devil." And at that point, as we remember it, there was a power cut.
No.
Yeah, and she fainted for real. What we're going to do is catch the news, which is impending at 3 o'clock, and then on with the magic.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Pick up your phone and talk radio.
We'll get you talking.
Stand up to cancer on Talk Radio. Stand up, raise cash, take cancer out. Collaboration kills cancer. Who's in?
I'm Julia Hartley Brewer, and I'm turning up the heat on cancer with a big and ballsy bake.
For Stand Up to Cancer, we're about to get ballsy with our bakes. We're going to play a little game of cupcake roulette.
Okay, we've only got a few left. Let's mix and mingle them. I can't even finish that. That is the rankest thing I have ever
literally. It tastes like a cake's fallen into fish and chips.
See the full video of my ballsy bakes right now on Talk Radio's Facebook page or on Twitter at Talk Radio.
Stand up to cancer on Talk Radio. Rebels, you now have a cause. Get inspired. Sign up now at standuptocancer.org.uk.
Hey Minions, I've got great news. Hang on, you haven't heard what it is yet.
Scusa.
Say no to slow with super fast Sky Fibre at our lowest price. It's just £20 a month for 18 months.
Whoa.
Ooh, la, la. We'll never slow you down, so even at peak times, the whole gang can go bananas.
Banana.
All for the tiny price of £20 a month for 18 months, including line rental, plus a one-off £19.95 setup fee when you join or recontract Sky TV.
Yeah.
Search Sky Fibre. Sky, believe in better. Available in Sky Fibre areas. New 18-month contract, Sky Fibre 25 gig monthly usage cap. Check speeds at sky.com. Further T's and C's apply.
Do you like things a little bit bigger?
then you'll love VLUX Rewards, because this September and October, they just got bigger. You'll earn up to £65 rewards when you buy VLUX flat roof lights, and you can spend them in places like M&S, Argos, Tesco and Thomas Cook. So you know what that means? Your big shop can get bigger, your new TV can get bigger, or you can go on a bigger holiday. Go big on rewards at vlux.co.uk/rewards. Conditions apply.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you.
It's 3 o'clock.
Talk Radio.
Yeah, it is Talk Radio, and I was going to say that myself, mate, but it's 3 o'clock and it's time for the news with Pete Abbott.
Thanks, Tommy. Coming up, M1 lorry driver appears in court. 30,000 Texans seek shelter from Hurricane Harvey, and chemical haze alert over.
Talk Radio.
A lorry driver has appeared in court charged over a crash on the M1 near Milton Keynes in which 8 people died. Richard Mazarek is accused of 20 offences, including being over the alcohol limit early on Saturday. The 31-year-old from Evesham in Worcestershire was remanded in custody. He'll appear at Aylesbury Crown Court next month. More than 30,000 people are expected to be forced into shelters in Texas after Hurricane Harvey. Water is going to be released from a reservoir to stop it bursting, but that will lead to more homes being flooded. More rain is expected in the coming days, with floods peaking on Wednesday or Thursday. Director of the US Emergency Agency FEMA, Brock Long, says the operation is a life-saving one at the moment.
We're trying to help the efforts to do swift water rescue, search and rescue over a huge county jurisdiction, over 30 to 50 counties possibly impacted in Texas.
Residents in Sussex are no longer being warned to keep their windows and doors closed after a mystery gas cloud passed through the area. The source of the leak is still unknown, although police say it's very unlikely to have come from the continent. But consultant toxicologist Dr. John Hoskins disagrees and thinks it almost definitely came from France or Germany.
Almost certainly it came across the channel, because it's in a rather peculiar part of the country to get anything that was generated in even the nearest large town is Brighton.
An Indian court has sentenced a controversial spiritual leader to 10 years in prison for raping two of his devotees. The conviction of Gurmeet Ram Rahim Singh on Friday caused his followers to riot, with 38 people killed. And a minute's silence will be held at the Notting Hill Carnival shortly to remember the victims of the Grenfell Tower fire. A separate one was held yesterday during the Family Day celebrations.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Very warm and sunny across much of England and Wales today. Cooler and windier in the northwest with outbreaks of rain. Today's high, 29 degrees Celsius.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
With Selco Builders Warehouse. Thousands of trade products to buy online and deliver to your door the next day. Selco's got it.
Selco is where the trade goes.
It's understood West Brom have rejected a second bid from Leicester for Johnny Evans, thought to be worth £21 million. Manchester City have also been linked with a move for the Northern Ireland defender. Arsenal midfielder Aaron Ramsey says the players are going to have to change something to compete this year. In the wake of yesterday's 4-0 defeat at Liverpool, he's told the club website that Liverpool showed what it's going to have to take to compete for the Premier League, and the players were very disappointed with the way they performed. Scotland captain Darren Fletcher is a doubt for Friday's crucial World Cup qualifier against Lithuania. The midfielder injured his knee playing for Stoke in their Premier League draw against West Brom yesterday. And Johanna Konta leads the British challenge for today's start of the US Open tennis. The world number 7 takes on Serbia's Alexandra Krunic in round 1. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment. For those about to talk, we salute you.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Find out, because I'm personally intrigued. As I know that part of the world fairly well, there's lots of people do the South Coast. But you find yourself intrigued by what happened yesterday with this curious rogue chemical mist or whatever it was that blew in. We've got Jonathan Hill standing by, who's based in East Dean, is it? Jonathan, you are?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So what's your story? I understand you were coming back from, what, holiday was it? Or a trip to Norfolk?
Yeah,
We'd been away in Norfolk for the week, and we came back yesterday afternoon, sort of around 4 o'clock-ish. Mm-hmm. Just sort of opened up all the windows and doors in the house, as you do, and sort of like watered the plants in the garden just to catch up from being away for a week.
Mm.
And sort of after about, I don't know, half an hour or so of being home, my girlfriend started to complain of her eyes stinging quite badly. She'd been showing some sort of like cold symptoms for the last couple of days, so we assumed it might just be like hay fever or something like that developing.
Mm.
And so we sort of got ourselves ready to go out and try and get some medication. And just before we were due to go, I started to suffer with exactly the same sort of symptoms. It was absolutely horrific, to the point where I actually had to wash my eyes for about 5 minutes with really cold water just to be able to actually see properly.
How are you now?
Not too bad today, actually. Everything seems to be a lot better. She struggled more than I did last night. She was quite sore and painful for most of the evening, to be honest, and found it difficult, especially because we had to keep all of our windows and doors closed. It was absolutely sweltering in the house.
Mm.
And I don't think that helped really either.
No. And, of course, you don't know what it is.
Well, no, exactly. I mean, as I said, we were going out to try and get some medication. We drove down the street in probably the busiest traffic I've ever seen on our road, because where we live is the road that leads directly to Burling Gap Beach.
Right.
And we stopped to speak to a policeman who was sort of directing traffic, and he told us basically that we either needed to go home or stay in Eastbourne if we were going out, because we wouldn't be able to get back to our house for a few hours.
Mm.
And when we decided to go back to the house, he told us to make sure everything was locked up, windows and doors, and do not go outside. And we asked him if they knew what it was, because at that point we had absolutely no idea. We thought maybe something had, I don't know, something was going on in the street to begin with, some sort of raid, but he said that there was some gas coming in from the sea. They had no idea what it was, where it was coming from, or how long it would be. So just to take care, stay in the house, and do not come back out.
Are you any closer to knowing what it is you were affected by? I remember hearing yesterday, we all do, that it could have been something that was jettisoned from a ship. Apparently sometimes ships in the channel drop drop oil, or I don't know why, or for whatever reason, but it happens apparently awfully. But that was the speculation then. What we're most hearing most recently is that it could have emanated from the actual continent of Europe on land.
Yeah, well, we saw something earlier on today that said that I think it was one of the fire chiefs, but I'm not certain, said that they think it's unlikely that it's come across from France now, and they're investigating other channels. What that could mean, I have absolutely
I mean, because I would have thought, travelling, what is it, 30 miles to France from where you're talking about?
Yeah, I think, yeah, about that. It's
going to disperse quite, you know. Yes, there was wind yesterday, wasn't there? Otherwise the cloud wouldn't have been blown inland. So there's wind, and that is going to disperse a chemical cloud.
I think the winds were blowing in the opposite direction as well.
Say again?
I think the winds, from what I've read, were blowing in the opposite direction as well, that they were blowing out to sea rather than inwards. So that's why it seems especially strange that it was such a thick cloud that descended on the beach.
So what do you suppose is happening behind the scenes? Are they checking up on which ships, which industrial ships, tankers, containers, whatever, were in that vicinity half an hour, 2 hours before then?
Well,
and they don't carry gas, do they? I mean, tankers don't carry gas.
Absolutely no idea. I mean,
do they?
Well, something that suggested to us, perhaps, that someone mentioned to us when we were talking about it last night, was that being where we are, that this was the coastline, obviously, from the continent, that during the wars, bombs could have been dropped in the sea that never actually exploded and somehow have managed to leak chemicals now. And that's made its way onto land, but obviously not quite as strongly as it would have at the time.
People aren't talking about the possibility that during the Second World War, chemical weapons were used but not successful, and only now they're beginning to give up their poisons.
A lot older.
When we don't know what's going on, you know, we have all sorts of thoughts and imaginings, don't we? Quite understandably, really.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
It crossed my mind, but then left my mind that the state of the world nowadays, one thought that I'm sure I'm not the only person had, is malfeasance in any way, misdemeanour in any way behind this. It runs through your mind, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. It's entirely possible. All these sort of things were going through our mind yesterday when the police said that they had no idea what it was.
Mm.
But, I mean, why anyone would target such a small beach that's not heavily populated as an area, It could be
are
anything.
You worried? I mean, are you going to be monitoring your own health any more carefully than you would normally over the next few days?
Not really. Not especially. I mean, we'll obviously be cautious of anything that might crop up with us if we do start to feel ill or anything like that. But, I mean, I feel fine today. The air seems fine. We've had windows and doors open today, and it's not so much of an issue now. But either way, it's worrying that it seems to be that no one has any idea. You know, there's nothing come in the media today to say, we think it might be this. There's just been a case of, we still have no idea, we're investigating. It seems to be a long time without any sort of leads.
I think you might well be stuck with a very interesting anecdote, which is that this happened to you, and at the end of it all, when all is said and done and it was all tied and finished and the line was drawn under it, it remained a mystery.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, well, I'm glad you're well.
Thank you very much.
Love to your other half.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye.
It's a very odd one, isn't it?
Do you remember, I'll say the word, just... naked. Do you remember Chernobyl? Are you young enough to remember?
I'm aware of it.
Aware of Chernobyl. A nuclear power plant was destroyed itself.
Yeah.
And then not long after that, another news phenomena knocked that off the front pages. It was that cattle began to fall like flies, drop like flies, with something that eventually became diagnosed as, they called it mad cow disease.
Mm.
Creutzfeldt-Jakob's...
Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease.
Thank you. Syndrome disease. Well, at the time, nobody thought to put the two things together. But some years later, after it had become an illness that was threatening human beings, there were quite a few victims of it, people who were supposed to have eaten the contaminated meat, particularly the nerve tissue of animals that went down with bovine spongiform encephalitis, if I remember rightly, just back at you. So what I did was I got hold of the weather reports on the day that Chernobyl went up, and a radioactive cloud, a contaminated cloud, was raised above Chernobyl. And there was a wind, and it was travelling at a certain speed in a certain direction. So I started to map it across Europe.
Did you really?
I did, yeah.
Blimey.
And it went down, and it went through parts of northern France, and then it crossed the Channel, and it went out across the southern England, and then out into the Irish Sea. And then the weather, the wind changed, and it came back again. And it started crossing England again. And it crossed over a point where it had recently crossed.
Mm.
So in other words, there was an area that had two visits from the Chernobyl cloud, assuming that it was held together and it didn't completely disperse. And then it went off out into the Channel. So what I then did was look at the geography of all the major collections of animals that had been contaminated and ended up suffering from BSE, and where people also developed
Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease.
Thank you very much. And there was a correlation. That's all. There was a correlation.
But why did it only affect cows?
Okay.
And not sheep? Because I remember at the time of the BSE crisis. So we're going back 20 years.
Yep.
That's when I went vegetarian. I'm not vegetarian anymore, but I did at the time.
Yeah.
But I do remember it only affected beef, cattle.
Apparently, yeah. Don't know.
Oh.
Can't answer that one. What I can say is that that cloud also carried rain. It rained in some places with the cloud overhead. And now, obviously, I don't want to frighten anybody because this wasn't a radioactive cloud. But I'm just saying that, what I guess I'm saying is that sometimes these things are not looked into quite as thoroughly as they might. And so the next question is, why did you become a vegetarian and why did you stop?
I was worried about BSE.
Oh, okay.
So I thought, right, well, I'll just stop eating everything.
Yeah.
And I think I was for about 4 years. Mm-hmm. I don't even think I ate fish.
No. Nope.
And then...
I just kind of got fed up of it. So I just started eating meat again. But there's some meats that I still don't eat.
Which are?
I don't eat lamb.
No.
Because it's, don't get me wrong, it is tasty.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel guilty.
It's not right, is
it's
it?
It's babies. But I'll eat mutton because it's much older, it's more mature.
Yes, yes. They've been round the block.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't eat chicken or any poultry, anything with feathers.
Because?
Because I had a pet cockatiel.
Okay.
Called Bobby.
Yeah.
And whenever we, and he used to be in the dining room because it was one of our main sort of sitting areas. And whenever we were tucking in to our Sunday roast or any sort of chicken, I could just see his little eyes looking at me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Murderer. So I don't eat any poultry now.
I had 10 years as a real alt vegetarian, you know, absolute, didn't even drink Bloody Marys because there's anchovy essence in Worcester sauce. That's how
I didn't even know that was in there either.
Yeah, well, you know. I was that hard line.
Were you almost vegan?
Yeah, but I did wear leather shoes.
All right.
But
is that because they're more comfortable?
Well, you couldn't get plastic shoes in. This is in the 1970s.
All right, okay.
You know, so the alternative wasn't there really. In fact, I don't think we'd heard of vegans in the 1970s.
Oh, that was a good time, wasn't it?
It was a fantastic time, actually. One go. What was it? We had everything, and it was free and legal. Anyway, but the point I was going to make was that, like a lot of young men, the reason I became vegetarian, besides all the obvious ones, which are health concerns and moral concerns, it was because I got off with this girl and she was vegetarian. And that, I believe that that is responsible for 70 to 80% of male vegetarianism.
You think?
Sex.
So you don't think that these other men have a moral conscience in their brains at all?
More women than men become vegetarian, and female vegetarians are not prepared to have a relationship. They would struggle to have a relationship with a man who ate hamburgers.
But do you not think that would be the same for men?
No.
I think that's very sweeping. I think that's a bit sexist.
Well,
I think there are probably male, in fact, if there are, 87222, start your message with the word talk. Are you a male vegetarian that refuses to date a lady or another man, whoever you want, that's a meat eater? Because I would be interested. I think that if once you've taken that moral obligation, I don't think it's just a woman thing.
Were you in a relationship when you were a vegetarian?
No, because I was about 12.
Oh, right, okay. Well, that's a bit sweeping too, but anyway.
Well, no, if
you can have a boyfriend when you're 12.
Yeah, I know, but it's not the same as it as when you're older.
You did have a boyfriend when you were 12. You had a crush on somebody.
Oh, probably. I wouldn't know who it is.
You had a crush on somebody and you didn't know who it was.
No, I wouldn't know now.
It's like that.
It's about 300 years
fantastic
ago.
Fantastic Woody Allen line. He goes,
Woody Allen's once.
I had a relationship with a girl that lasted. She was an air stewardess. It lasted 3 years. And then she found out.
That's just creepy, though, isn't it?
Talk Tommy. Once upon a time, I was invited to Peter Cushing's home in Whitstable to see his splendid collection of miniature wargaming figures and his military books. This is John, who has SMS'd us.
Is this John from...
I don't know.
..that called in?
Pass.
Okay.
And an anonymous one. I think the two most scary films ever made are the original Halloween and Nightmare on Elm Street. Films now are too full of gore and are not really scary. Sorry, I've got a name. This is Chris. So thank you for that SMS.
You can call it a text. It's fine.
Oh, I didn't know it was.
Well, SMS is short messaging service.
Well, again, it sounds like something you see on a postcard in a telephone box, except they don't do that anymore. £35 extra.
Stop it.
You're tuned to Talk Radio. It's the time is coming up for 20 past three.
Talk Radio. Intelligent, organic entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Stand up to cancer on Talk Radio. Stand up, raise cash, take cancer out. Collaboration kills cancer. Who's in?
I'm Julia Hartley Brewer, and I'm turning up the heat on cancer with a big and ballsy bake.
For Stand Up to Cancer, we're about to get ballsy with our bakes. We're going to play a little game of cupcake roulette.
Okay, we've only got a few left. Let's mix and mingle them. Oh, go, go, oh! What?
I can't even. I'm sorry. I can't even finish that. That is the rankest thing I have ever.
It tastes like a cake's fallen into fish and chips.
See the full video of my ballsy bakes right now on Talk Radio's Facebook page or on Twitter at Talk Radio.
Stand up to cancer on Talk Radio. Rebels, you now have a cause. Get inspired. Sign up now at standuptocancer.org.uk.
Every match on Sky Sports and BT Sport. This is football from Virgin Media. Cabled areas only. Search Virgin Media Football for more information.
Right now, all Wren kitchens are half price with an extra 25% off. And there's 10% off all worktops, all when you buy five or more units. Hurry, ends Wednesday at 10 p.m.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Traffic remains stationary on the M23 southbound in Surrey due to an accident blocking the carriage road between the M25 at Junction 7 and Junction 9 for Gatwick Airport. It's very slow as well for traffic heading between Hillingdon and Uxbridge. The A4020 Hillingdon Hill is currently closed westbound after an accident there near to the Greenway. And it's very slow northbound on the M13 South Yorkshire due to an overturned vehicle closing a lane there between Junction 38 for Huddersfield and Junction 39 for Wakefield. I'm Louisa Gale.
This bank holiday weekend, summer mega deals are still on at Currys PC World. And to top it off, we've got an extra 10% off hundreds of items on big name brands like Samsung, Nespresso, Bosch, Lenovo, HP, LG, Hotpoint, Dell, Panasonic and Sony. And that's not the only thing that'll take your breath away. They all come with free next day delivery. So don't wait around, get down to Currys PC World. Be quick, offer ends Monday. At Currys PC World, we help you get it right. Delivery available in most areas, subject to availability. Excludes bank holidays for small items.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Tommy Boyd in for John Holmes. Cass is here. We have Josh and Harry who are backing us up. Josh informs me that his dad is a... I don't know if we can say this. Is it for broadcast or...?
Yeah, it's going to be broadcast.
So your dad became a vegetarian to get your mum?
I don't know if it was quite that, but yeah, my mum decided she was vegetarian and they're both still vegetarian.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure if he was given the opportunity,
yeah,
he would have a hamburger.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. If he found out there was this tomorrow was the last day.
I know what Cass is saying, but I did vegetarianism for 16 years as a kid. I was brought up vegetarian.
Right.
Minute I got to taste bacon, never looked back.
No.
You just don't, do you? You just think this is just the best thing ever.
And Harry, you're a vegetarian for somebody that you're no longer going out with, even.
That's correct. Yeah, I was convinced by an ex about 3 years ago, and I remain one to this day.
Well, have you come close?
I come close to
a hamburger.
Honestly, I'm starting to get like I'm running on fumes a bit now. I am getting very, very close to.
I was on a train up to Birmingham, and this.
I can't actually hear these headphones are broken.
What did you say?
You can't hear in the headphones. They're always broken.
No, I was doing the deaf joke there, wasn't I?
It's
a variation on pub.
It's not a joke.
No,
you're on a train.
And this girl, it was about 11 o'clock at night, it was the last train from Euston up to Birmingham. This girl got on opposite me, and she was obviously had a few, and she was tucking into this McDonald's. And she suddenly looked up and looked at nobody and just kind of went, I won't use the language. She just went, oh, no. She didn't say, oh, no. She went, oh, no. I'm vegetarian, aren't I?
So drunk she forgot she was vegetarian.
3/4 of the way through a Big Mac, mind.
Did she finish it?
Sorry?
Did she finish it?
Yeah. I didn't ask her, but she just thought, you know.
Well, in for a penny, in for a pound.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
Or a quarter pounder.
Now, where were we? T's and C's. No, we've done that, haven't we?
That was ages ago.
Yes.
Last thing we talked about was vegetarianism.
Vegetarianism.
Horror films. We've had some tweets and texts.
Horror films. Yes, in space no one can hear you scream.
Apparently.
Sometimes the strap line is even stronger than the horror, isn't it? What was that one you mentioned? A similar strap line.
Well, no, it was somebody texted or tweeted about Nightmare on Elm Street, and that was one of those films that the reason that it was so scary is because it got you where you thought you were safe, which is in bed and asleep.
Yes.
And that's why it was
yes
so terrifying.
Quick tweet from Will, who says, I was vegetarian for a little bit, but got over it, and now I blog about kebabs. True story.
It's nice that he's found a calling.
Yes, and this SMS text has come in. Talk, I think Tommy Boyd is right. Most men become vegetarians to get sex, but some become vegetarians of their own accord, and they all seem to be called Malcolm.
I want to see the study on that.
You want to see the facts?
The study, yeah.
Who do you think was the last male child to be called Eric in Britain?
Whichever one was last born.
But it's gone, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Eric.
Where?
Nobody's... I don't know. Everybody of my generation had an Eric in their class.
So just because you don't know any young Erics, you're just wildly speculating.
You go through the park and you keep your ears open.
For Eric?
Nobody ever says, get down off there, Eric.
Oh, it's probably because they swear at them now, don't they, some parents? Or just call them Oi. Oi! Get down.
You know, no one in space can hear you scream. That was the strap line
from
for
Alien.
Alien. One of the things that stays in my mind from watching QI is that Stephen Fry asked the panels, if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one to hear it, does it make any noise?
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there is an answer.
Is there?
Yes.
Well, I thought it would be yes.
No, the answer's no.
The answer's no. Is it yes or no?
No. No, it is no. If a tree falls in the forest and there is no one there to hear it, it does not make a sound.
Well, you said no one. Are you including animals?
Yes, let's give them that credential. If there's nothing to hear a tree falling in the forest, it does not make a sound.
Well, how do they know that?
It's a simple fact.
No, that's not a fact. You can't just say that's a fact.
Actually, once you know the reason for this, it
Go
is
on,
a
then.
Fact. There is no such thing as sound. All there is a certain movement of air which our ears convert into what we call sound.
Well, I know that once something has made a noise, it's the reverberation of whatever it is.
Yeah, but there has to be an ear present for it to be converted into sound.
But there is still noise made.
No, not unless there's an ear present. Nothing else detects air movement and converts it into information which we call sound other than the mammal or reptilian animal ear. Rocks don't. They don't go, oh, keep it down in there.
Well, no, because they haven't got mouths.
They haven't got ears.
You don't know that because they've not said they don't have ears.
I don't want to do that one of you don't know that animals don't talk just because you've never heard them. I don't want to do that one. You see what
I'm
saying?
No, my cats talk. I'm not lying. One of my cats, who's called Isis, I named her many, many years ago, she meows in such a way, and I swear down, I'll record it one day, that sounds like she's saying hello. Okay. She goes, meow. It sounds like hello. My cat talks.
There is a station that I go through quite often called Barnum. And whenever you go through Barnum, they play an announcement. A bloke goes, Barnum, this is Barnum. Like that, right? The train now standing at platform one is for London Victoria, right? Now, we pulled in the other day and I heard, Barnum! You really? Not making it up.
It was a clown car. A
crow.
No!
On the roof of the station. Barnum! Barnum! You can hear it, can't you? And when I was a dolphin trainer, the dolphins used to talk to me.
Oh, God, this again. I remember this.
I've told you this one.
No, I just remember
Am I repeating myself already?
No,
with you now?
You've always got stories
How
about...
How geriatric is that? I've only known you 20 minutes and I'm already repeating myself.
Oh, when I was a...
I'm going to reach...
Dolphin trainer. I'm don't start... believe you're a dolphin trainer.
How can I prove it?
Is it on your wiki page? You don't know what that is, do you?
Well, I do, but I have not been to my Wikipedia page for several years.
Let's have a look then.
Although I did complain to Wikipedia and I wanted it taken off, the whole thing. I don't want to be on Wikipedia. I'm a bit snobbish about having my life written up.
I don't think it's snobbish. I think,
by a bunch of adolescents.
Okay, fine.
If somebody, if Martin Amis wants to write my life story, okay. but a bunch of adolescents sitting in their bedroom at 2 o'clock in the morning with a screen flickering, writing half-truths that they remember about my involvement in wrestling. I don't want my life crystallised in that way. Have you got a Wikipedia page?
I've never actually looked, to be honest.
You never Googled yourself?
I have Googled myself.
And?
I'm there. I'm on Google.
You're on Google.
We should make you a page. Pop a page up.
There you go. I'll have to check now. I'm going to check when I go outside now and check if I am actually on Wikipedia. I hope I am.
Oh, don't, though, because it'll be disappointing. It always is. Whoever writes it up writes what their memories are, and they're inaccurate. They're not journalists. They're not writers. They're not publishing houses.
No, but
they're a bunch of adolescents.
I suspect my Wikipedia page will portray an image of me that is better than the real life image of me. No. I don't know.
Have you ever had counselling of any sort for self-esteem problems?
But I'm going to be going to a counsellor fairly soon, I think.
That's fair enough. OK, well, we're heading towards the news, which is why Pete Abbott is with us, and it will give Cass an opportunity to read through the nonsense that is my Wikipedia page, which I haven't gone near, as I said, for several years. I'm Tommy Boyd. I'm in for John Holmes. You're tuned to Talk Radio. It is, as I said, 3:30. That's news time with Pete.
Talk Radio.
30,000 people are expected to be put into emergency shelters in Texas. Flooding there is predicted to continue getting worse after Hurricane Harvey hit the US state over the weekend. Around 450,000 people in Texas are believed to have been affected by the storm. Residents in Sussex are no longer being told to take extra precautions after a mystery chemical cloud passed through yesterday. Around 150 people went to Eastbourne District General Hospital for treatment, complaining of lung and eye irritation. A lorry driver facing 20 charges over a motorway horror crash that left 8 people dead has appeared in court. 31-year-old Richard Mazarek is accused of being over the alcohol limit when his truck was involved in the incident on the M1 in Buckinghamshire early on Saturday. 6 men and 2 women in a minibus died after the collision. New laws aimed at bringing greater pay transparency to the boardroom are being unveiled by the government. The move comes after Prime Minister Theresa May branded fat cat bosses the unacceptable face of capitalism. Measures being outlined by Business Secretary Greg Clark will make all listed companies reveal the pay ratio between bosses and workers and justify the difference. The latest stage of Brexit negotiations are underway today in Brussels. David Davis is meeting with the EU's chief negotiator Michel Barnier, and US doctors believe an anti-inflammatory drug represents a potential new era of treatment. It has the potential to reduce the risk of heart attacks by 15% and cut deaths caused by cancer by at least half. Today's weather, very warm and sunny across much of England. Wales cooler and windier in the northwest without breaks of rain. Today's high 29 degrees Celsius. There's more news in half an hour.
Delaney, live at Drive on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. It's an A to Z of original afternoon entertainment with the most well-connected man in radio.
Give it some lip.
Big opinions, massive guests, all the top stories. Original afternoon entertainment with me, Sam Delaney.
Delaney, live at Drive.
Honk if you're Delaney.
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Drive time this afternoon is in the capable hands of James Max, and he will be along in about 20 minutes just to give us a preview of what he's got in the show. It's the John Holmes Show on Talk Radio from 1 until 4 this bank holiday afternoon. It's Tommy in for James, and Cass is here, and we've been looking at the accuracy or otherwise of Wikipedia.
Well, yeah, because first time that I met you, like a couple of months ago when you were covering for this show and you said you were a dolphin trainer, I just thought you were joking. I thought you were lying because it just sounds so ridiculous, and I never checked it out. I just thought, oh, it's just Tommy, he's just mad. No, apparently you worked for 2 years as a dolphin trainer at the Brighton Dolphinarium.
Yeah.
And then later worked for 2 seasons as a redcoat entertainer at Butlin's Holiday Camp in Bognor Regis.
Yes, as a very interesting job, a stand-up comedian. In the old school, unfortunately.
So I'm sorry for...
doubting me.
Yeah, and accusing you of not training dolphins. So you can proceed with your dolphin trainer story.
Oh, well, it's not much of a story, except that, you know, the noise that dolphins make, you sometimes, it's sort of that.
That's a very good impression.
Thank you. Well, that was Belle saying, how about giving me some fish, mate? Mm-hmm. But what's really interesting about that noise is when you swim with dolphins, you don't hear that noise underwater. They make this really quite eerie but beautiful music. And you only hear it when they're swimming directly towards you. So it's directional. So there you are with your scuba tank on and you're there beneath the waters. And a dolphin turns and swims towards you and you hear... And then that little noise disappears when the dolphin is no longer actually facing you. And then they turn again and zigzag back and come towards you a little bit. Do you remember at the end of Indiana Jones and the Ark?
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. Those beautiful things come out of the coffin.
Yes.
And fly towards the Germans and towards, what's his face, tied to the stake.
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones. It's a bit like that. They come towards you and they go,
and it's quite eerie.
Haunting.
Yeah.
And really beautiful. And they reckon that that is the noise that the dolphins somehow make with their brains.
Yes, no, I do. I was going
to
say.
So we're back to telepathy.
Yeah.
Again on this show.
Do you think BT would employ dolphins to work on the telepathy and make an app?
I don't think they're that clever, BT. Josh is, and he says that it's what's called sonar, the noise.
Oh, yeah.
Rather like the noise that owls make and stuff like that to help them not fly into trees.
I thought it was bats.
Or bats, indeed, the same thing. Yes, yeah, same thing. I know what I'm talking about, an expert. I'm professional.
Yeah, sure.
But the noise that we know dolphins make that goes... they learned to make because when they came... when they found themselves captured and put in these stupid tanks of chlorinated water, they would come up out of the water and try to communicate with the humans and they would use sonar... and the people couldn't react. They never reacted because sonar doesn't travel through air.
Mm.
So the men or women who were working with them didn't know that they were trying to communicate with them. So they discovered that if they opened and closed their blowhole on the top of their head and pushed air through it and sucked air in through it and opened it and closed it really quickly, they would get this noise, which they only make... teach themselves, teach each other to make in the company of human beings when they're out of the water. Dolphins in the wild never make that noise, have no need to, and there's
that's
nobody to teach them how to do it. I know, it's brilliant. I know, it is.
Because it reminds me of Flipper.
Da-da-da-da, yeah. No one you see is smarter than he. There are about 12 different flippers.
I'm not surprised.
And once you've worked with dolphins, you can tell them apart. When I first worked with dolphins... there were six of them in the tank. Poppy, Baby, Missy, Lucky, Prinny and Belle. And two of them were male and four of them were female. And the dominant male got to have relationships with each of the four females because he was dominant. The other male had to find other ways of, yes.
Oh, God. If I know people could see my face and how pissed
able
it is.
To do using the jet stream of hot water that was channeled into the tank.
No!
About 3 feet below the actual water level. That was Poppy. Where were we? I was talking about the things Somewhere else. Those are the things that go on in the world of, you know, captive animals, which I'm extremely against now and was against at the time. But anyway. So that's it's been today's show. No, we're not off the air just yet. We've been talking a little bit about burglary, about unoccupied buildings.
We didn't really get very far into burglary, did we?
Have you ever been burgled? You haven't.
No, we did that.
Yes.
But we didn't go into the detail of where the story sort of came
from.
Well,
we were once burgled and there was a burglar in the house.
While you were still in it?
Yeah.
Good grief.
And this is a massive credential when you call 999. They were there in 6 or 7 minutes. They said, we drop everything if there's an intruder in a house that is occupied.
Mm.
And that's what we reported. But by then he'd already fled. There were two of them, actually. They had fled. And so I foolishly said to my son, who was about 15, 16 at the time, come on, let's jump in the car and drive around and see if we can see him. And on the way out, I grabbed a tennis racket.
You went vigilante, didn't you?
Sorry?
You went vigilante.
Now, my son's a good golfer. I'm going to start to say this increasingly to you. Have I told you this story before?
No, no, no.
Right, my son's a good golfer. He plays off plus two, which means...
I don't know what that means.
Oh, well, if you're a...
Does that just mean he's good?
Yeah, he's very good.
Okay, there we go.
Anyway, so I grabbed a tennis racket and jumped into the Peugeot and started, fired her up. And he's still standing there at the door and he's looking at his bag of golf clubs. Golfers, you know the agony that golfers go through? Trying to work out whether it's a 7-iron or an 8-iron in.
Depending on what they've
and
got to put.
And he's standing there with his, he's got his fingers at his chin like that and he's looking at his bag. He reaches for a club and then he goes, no. And then, anyway, I went, doo-doo, and he jumped in and we drove off. And I said, what did you go with? And he said, I've gone with a 6-iron, Dad.
Is that a big one?
Well, it's quite a big club, quite a substantial club. Mm. But he said he didn't want to go with a driver because it was too long to manipulate in a small area, you know. And obviously, you don't want a putter. Nobody's going to go, oh, my God, he's coming at me with a putter. So he went with a 6-iron, which he hits about 180, 190 yards. So, you know.
Is that...
Yeah. Obviously, we didn't use them, and you shouldn't.
No, 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 you absolutely shouldn't.
And you're not allowed to. And I don't think we would have done. I think we carried them just to give ourselves confidence.
Yeah.
He said, in order to make sure he doesn't break the law or anything by advocating.
Well, no, you should not. You should work for the police and do not charge
I think
people.
You are allowed to keep something under your bed.
Slippers.
Kinky.
What?
No, no, if...
Finish the story!
In order to defend yourself! I couldn't see how you're going to defend yourself with a slipper.
You should see how far I can launch
things. Come over here, you naughty boy. But no, I think. Do you guys? Let me ask the gentleman, Josh.
There's no gentleman.
And Harry, do you have something to hand that you would use in your own home if, in the unlikely event that an intruder were to suddenly be there?
Yeah, I do actually.
You do?
Yeah. I've got a hammer.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Where do you keep it?
To be honest, it's generally just in the room, but I think I'd have to scramble around a lot if I actually thought someone was in the house.
Okay, Cass.
I'm sorry, but if there's an intruder in your house, the first thing is not going to be thinking, oh, let me just grab what's under my bed. It would be, where's my phone? I need to call the police.
Okay.
Really? Because you'd be making a sound at that point.
The intruder's downstairs.
So we're in a two-story house now.
Or three.
Or three.
Yeah. So I've done well. I've been careful with my money.
Oh, good.
The point is, the intruder is not standing over you in the bed.
Right,
that's what happens in John Carpenter movies, doesn't it?
It does.
Right. Tell you what we'll do. We'll just pause it here for a second. Good afternoon, good listener. We're talking about whether or not people can and should have an item for self-defence available in their bedroom, under the bed. I think most people do. A lot of people, for example, taxi drivers, keep an innocent piece of equipment in the boot of their vehicle for exactly the same purpose. And if they're thinking about it, then why shouldn't we be talking about it? Back with you in just a couple of moments.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
It's a football forecast on your radio broadcast with the two mics on Talk Radio with a Selco predictor. Every Friday night, get set for a squabble as Mike's Parry and Graham take a spin of the Selco predictor and fret and fight over the weekend's football fixtures.
Well, at least I'm not fat and ugly, and you are.
You are fat and ugly.
The two mics on Talk Radio with the Selco predictor. Download the Selco app now or sign up for free at talkradio.com/predictor.
Selco, it's where the train go.
With Ford's new for old scrappage scheme, you can save between £2,000 and £4,950 on the recommended list price when you trade in your old car for a new Ford. It's a great opportunity to upgrade to the new premium B&O Play sound system. Ford Sync 3 voice control for easy hands-free interaction. And active park assist that makes parking effortless. Ford. Together, we go further.
Retail customers only who trade in a vehicle registered before 31st of December 2009. Scrappage savings between £2,000 and £4,950 dependent on model after the recommended on-the-road price, including VAT. Certain models excluded. Contract from 21st of August to 31st of December and register from 1st of September to 31st of December 2017. At participating Ford dealers only, T's and C's apply.
Calling all early stage startup founders. Are you changing the world with revolutionary new ideas? Then listen up. News UK is launching the Startup Lab to help you supercharge your fresh, vibrant business. By joining the Startup Lab, you'll get unprecedented access to an audience of 12 million people every day.
You'll get use of an archive of over 200 years' worth of words, images and data. You'll also get unrivalled industry expertise, plus the opportunity for Series A funding. Ready? Let's go. Check out newsukstartuplab.co.uk and bring your startup idea to the next level. Find out more and register your interest at newsukstartuplab.co.uk. But don't hang around. Applications close on the 14th of September. newsukstartuplab.co.uk. Let's see what we can do together.
Talk Radio, Traffic and Travel.
Traffic very slow at the moment on the M6 southbound through Cumbria due to an accident closing the outside lane between Junction 39 at Shap and Junction 38 for Teabay. It's very slow clockwise on the M25 due to an accident closing a lane there between Junction 28 for the Brook Street roundabout and Junction 29 for Romford. But finally, better news for the M23 southbound in Surrey, which has finally reopened between the M25 at Junction 7 and Junction 9 for Gatwick Airport. I'm Louisa Gale.
This bank holiday weekend, summer mega deals are still on at Currys PC World. And to top it off, we've got an extra 10% off hundreds of items on big name brands like Samsung, Nespresso, Bosch, Lenovo, HP, LG, Hotpoint, Dell, Panasonic and Sony. And that's not the only thing that'll take your breath away. They all come with free next day delivery. So don't wait around, get down to Currys PC World. Be quick, offer ends Monday. At Currys PC World, we help you get it right. Delivery available in most areas, subject to availability. Excludes bank holidays for small items.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast. Tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
John Lennon once said,
life is what happens to you while you're busy making other.
Smith sang,
life's a journey, not a destination.
And Sir Bruce Forsyth gave us,
life is the name of the game, and I want to play the game with you.
So I hope you're busy making other plans to join me on my journey through the next Full Set Breakfast. That's the name of the game, courtesy of Bruce Forsyth, Steve Tyler and John Lennon.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast, tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
With Cass and with Josh and also with Harry, and we've been talking about everything that's in the news at the moment and a little bit more, including is coffee good for you or is coffee bad for you? We've been talking about that particular switchback ride, horror movies, the poisonous cloud, not poisonous, toxic, no, not toxic, chemical cloud, yeah, chemical, that enveloped part of the south coast yesterday. The new diet, if you talk, you will lose weight. Talking
for 12 hours
is the equivalent of running doing a 5 mile run. Talking about that, and we find ourselves discussing whether or not you're entitled to have something in the bedroom that you could put your hands on if you thought that there was an intruder in the house, and it would just give you a little bit more confidence to go to the top of the stairs and shout down, or indeed the lift, and shout down. I've done well.
Too and shout bloody down, well.
Too bloody well, yeah. Opens out into the living room. And to say, it's got a metal
just
gate, and shout down, anybody there? Has it ever happened to you? Hasn't?
No, it hasn't, no. I've been fortunate with that. No. I think the cats tend to scare people off because I've got three of them.
Have you ever been in that situation then discovered it wasn't that situation and felt foolish? Because I've accidentally confronted my mum with a music stand before.
You came at your mum with a music stand because you thought she was going to nick your trophies?
Something like that.
Good God. And what did she...
She just looked at me very confused because it was literally daytime, so I just came charging out of my room with a music stand.
In the daytime? That is unusual.
It was about 10 o'clock in the morning. We had dark blinds. I thought it was still night.
We had somebody on the landing once, but it turned out to be a woman who had turned up to visit number 19, which was 10 doors down from us, and she got the numbers wrong. And we'd left the front door open because my sons, being teenagers, would come and go, and we didn't want them to have keys or anything. And so she'd arrived at our house, let herself in, and come up the stairs. And we went out of the bedroom because we could hear this noise that didn't sound like our lads. Mm. And there she was standing there on the landing with her suitcase. That was not scary, but just kind of a little bit...
It's like, hello, are you moving in?
It just threw you slightly, yes. What have you found out the law says about what you can and can't have to hand?
It doesn't say anything about what you can or can't have to hand. It just talks about reasonable force.
Yeah, which is so... You don't hurt the other person.
Yeah, exactly. But it doesn't say what you should or shouldn't have. I imagine nothing illegal, because there are a lot of illegal weapons. You definitely shouldn't have that.
I used to be a member of the British Kendo Association. And this came about because I wanted to study Iaito, which is the art of Japanese sword fighting. And there are 10 basic ways of using your Iaito, which is the Japanese sword that we often see on people's mantelpieces, along with their 10-pin bowling trophies, that sort of echelon of maleness. And there are, they teach you 10 ways to kill using the samurai sword. One is to overcome an opponent who is sitting opposite you. That's number one. Number two is overcoming an opponent who is sitting behind you. And so on and so forth like that, including my favourite, number 10, which was overcoming four men armed with swords, one of whom is coming towards you, one of whom is coming up behind you, the third of whom is to your right and the third of fourth of whom is to your left. And it's this beautiful dance that you do with this quite beautiful sword, it is actually, that thing. Do you know why it's got a groove running all the way along at the top towards the heavy side?
Is that where
the
folder? Or?
It's where the blood runs out. It's how you...
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, I know. So I studied that for a wee while, because you said that there's nobody knows how to use a Japanese sword.
Yeah,
and
no,
sadly, I do.
The people that tend to have them just have them as an ornament.
Yes.
Just because they like...
having a sword in the house.
Yeah, but they're always blunt anywhere. And then, you know, they'll just whip it out every now and again and swing it round.
Men
and
there's do.
There's no grace or style or anything to it.
Men are very interested in that. Well, one of the first things I really wanted when I was about 7 or 8 was a pocket knife, a pen knife, as we used to call them. I just wanted one. I didn't want to use it in any kind of violent situation.
Like maybe whittling. Whittle something.
Just opening up the shell of a conker, which nobody does anymore because nobody plays conkers.
Well, you're not allowed anymore.
Oh, you're not allowed to play conkers. You're not allowed to have pen knives.
No. Nope.
Fair enough, probably. But I think it is a male thing. And I've often wondered, you know reincarnation? Do you believe in it?
No.
Not in the slightest?
No.
Not at all? You've never been regressed?
No.
You wouldn't want to try?
I would try, but I can't be hypnotised.
Using which method?
Hypnosis.
Well, there's lots of different methods.
Oh, I don't know all of them. I went to be hypnotised once because I used to not be able to... Well, I could drive, but I hated driving. I got very panicky.
Okay.
So I went and thought, well, I'll be hypnotised so that they can put me in that situation under hypnosis and relax me. Couldn't be hypnotised, but I felt so bad because I'd paid for the session and I should have just said, I'm sorry, look, mate, this just isn't working.
It's not working.
But I didn't. I just faked it all the way through.
Yes, I think quite a few people do. Did the person who tried to use hypnosis with you give you any kind of test to find out what level of resistance you're likely to put up beforehand? They sometimes do things like, you know, hold your fingers, hold your palms of your hands together, press them together, and now imagine that you can't pull them apart.
I think he might have done something similar.
What happens if you do that? Of course, you can't do it now. Naturally, but if you pressed your palms together and I told you, press your palms together, now you can't take them apart, try. And just for a second you can't, then you're possibly somebody who will be able to go under. But you obviously aren't.
No. Well, I wasn't at the time.
Was it one of those 10, 9, 8, 7, 6 feet?
No,
sleepy?
It was, it was he was just talking non-stop and I had to listen to music at the same time, so I had to have headphones on.
Oh, eh?
And then he was talking to me directly, so there was no other outside noise. And I had to walk down a path, and then when I got there was a chair, and I had to tell him what colour it was, and there was a box, and I had to tell him what was in the box. And I'm just thinking, I just hope these are the right answers, because I want this over and done with, because I'm actually bored.
Not going to be boring, yes. Yes, I was talking to somebody who does quite a bit of that sort of counselling, and they use a type of hypnosis called Ericksonian hypnosis. And in fact, he taught me how to do it, and I did it with my wife one evening. Hypnosis with my wife one evening, shortly after our eldest son was born, and she was having trouble relaxing because she was up all night. And so she was so tired she couldn't sleep.
Were you not helping?
Yes, we were bottle and I did my share. Okay. Absolutely 50-50.
Just checking.
So I was shagged out as well. And believe me, there is no lonelier place than 2:45 a.m. standing on the landing with a crying baby that you know is not going to stop crying for about another three quarters of an hour, whatever you do. And I am one of those few proud men who can make a cup of tea with one hand.
Oh, well, there you go.
Thank you. Thank you for asking. But so I said to my wife, all right, lie on the sofa. I said, I don't know if this is going to work, but I'm just going to relax you using this hypnosis technique that I have been taught. And I did. Our son had gone to sleep, and he was such a baby that when he went to sleep, he'd never wake up, not for another 6 hours, but then he would. I hypnotised her, and the baby woke up and started crying, and she ran out and comforted the baby and came back in. I said, do you want to do that again? She said, no, that was terrifying. I said, why? What happened? And I'd given her what was a loose command. I'd said to her, I want you to imagine yourself in a place where you feel comfortable, happy and relaxed. And she said, and I regressed. I was 4 years old. It was a Sunday. I could smell the roast cooking. I was sitting on my daddy's knee being bounced. I can feel the texture of his trousers. Everything about it. I was so happy. And that's when the baby woke up.
Oh, my God.
So don't try and tell me that being a human being isn't a weird experience.
Oh, at no point would I ever claim such a thing.
Am I right, James?
I'm very well. Good afternoon.
No, I said, am I right? Is being a human being a strange experience?
Yes.
Exactly.
Absolutely it's strange. Life is made up of strange things.
I like your shirt. I wish I could get away with that classy gingham look.
Thank you.
The weekend shirt, man.
It's a little bit of a British Broadcasting Corporation shirt.
Are you wearing chinos as well?
Small checks.
And loafers, the whole weekend
look.
No,
I've got jeans and...
It's a pretty good weekend look, though, I have to say.
Thank you very much indeed.
Yeah.
I just felt it was sort of casual. And now I can fit into this shirt. I heard you earlier talking about darts and things.
Yeah.
And I've very often spent a lot of my life looking in the mirror and thinking, gosh, I'm anorexic, as in looking in the mirror thinking you're fat. And so I've been on a little bit of a dart, and this shirt fitted for the first time in a while.
I've got a lot of shirts like that at home.
It's not
good. I buy, thinking to myself, if I buy this slim fit shirt,
yes,
that will make me lose 10 pounds.
And does it?
No.
Oh.
They just hang there.
Oh, it's an amazing feeling, though, when you've done the work and then they fit. That's incredible. Yeah, that's good.
Do you know what I did the other day? I don't know if this... Oh, sorry, we should be plugging your show.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about it. It's a slow news day.
Yeah, okay, it is. I've finally plucked up the courage day before yesterday to throw in the litter bin my black tie.
Oh.
Because it only reminded me of people I know whose funeral I've been to. And I used to open the wardrobe and I'd see the various other ties, which I'll never wear, and there'd be this black tie.
Well, what if you have to wear it again?
I'm never going to wear a black tie to a funeral.
Somber suit, colourful tie, celebrate their life.
It's what he would have wanted. So many people say I want it to be a lilac wedding anyway. Yeah. Wedding funeral.
Yeah, something.
Anyway, a packed show.
A packed show coming up. Inevitably, it would be disappointing if we didn't have a show that had some form of Brexit discussion. So there'll be a Brexit discussion. We'll also be looking at the weather, because it has been quite a stunning day today, and seeing whether or not we broke those records you were talking about earlier. Trending review, Adrian Mills will be in, so we'll be having a look through the stories that aren't in the papers today. We'll also be talking about Donald Trump and Hurricane Harvey, the most extraordinary pictures and news coming out of Houston. It's just another tragedy unfolding in front of our eyes, really. And then we'll also be talking about advertising diversity, and probably some dogs at some point, and some other things. We might even squeeze in biscuits if it gets that desperate.
Squeezing biscuits, I like it. I'll talk to you next time.
Talk Radio. Dial up some dialogue.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.